Poison Rana.
Rana, what up, yeah?
Music hit, the crowd is lit, you know it's going down. Announcers know that pound for pound, these superstars, the dopest round. The Detroit will lock you in a lion tamer, no disclaimer. Lee inside your back, you forced to tap his facts, you in some danger. See no tagging and suplexing like he tazz and spazzing out on rappers. Give receipts as stiff as mannequins, we cashing in. My brothers know what up though, my cousins know what up though. My fans and the family from the city say what up though. My mama know what up though. My auntie say what up though. All around the city, if you with me, say what up though. Bring the hammer like it's Valentine. You know we about that.
What up though? Welcome to a special episode of What Up Though. I'm your host, B Detroit. Once again back, joined by the Sicilian Shogun himself, John Cena. What's going on, brother?
It's going good, man. We got a big, big episode, like you said, and we had to bring in the reinforcements. You know, we're here representing the United States of America, so it's only fair if we bring two more people representing Toronto, representing Canada. You know, no offense to Davey Portman, no offense to John Pollock, but I feel like they don't really want to hear Wei Ting and Braden talk about this. So we brought them on to What Up, Though, on the Poison Rana podcast. What's up, fellas? Wei Ting, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. What a pleasure to be here on the show. Big fan. And, you know, you give John some time. I think he's really catching up slowly. You know, maybe check in about a week from now. I think he'll be all caught up.
Yeah, he's the biggest number one Toronto hater, it seems. That's probably why. Hello, Brady here. And yes, my co-host, Davey Portman, could not pick Kendrick Lamar out of someone sitting at the bar. So he doesn't even know who that is, really. And he's not a big fan of Drake. And he probably could not even name five hip-hop songs. So I needed some friends to talk to about some things that have been going on. And, well, I thought it would be fun to talk to you too. So I'm glad the invite is here. And I'm glad that we're all here to represent not only the United States, but Canada with two dudes from the six. We're ready to talk shop.
Yeah, this is very, very interesting. I didn't even think that the Toronto, Detroit, New York mix was like, you know, a battle of the brands type thing. So it's like kind of like a post-wrestling brand split going on right now, if you would say so. But we're all here to talk about a very, very controversial thing right now. One of the most crazy topics in the world right now. This thing's been on the news. It's been everywhere. It's on ESPN. We're talking about Drake versus Kendrick Lamar. Now, have you been under a rock for like the last, what, month or so?
Right. Yeah, I think last time we recorded this, we had just heard the J. Cole track that has since been deleted. So a lot has happened since the last show.
Exactly. So J. Cole, we just jump right into it. Drake himself and J. Cole, longtime buddies as of, well, a year ago or so, drops a couple albums together. We'll drop an album together, drop a couple tracks together. And then a song called First Person Shooter is on these songs, and it's kind of like the birth of this kind of rivalry between the three. I wouldn't say like the rebirth, because this goes back to all of their debuts, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what basically kind of started this whole, well, reignited, I guess, the whole beef here of what everything's going on. So yeah, I think you've assembled your team of Avengers here. We're gonna try to dissect and give some thoughts, almost as if it is pro wrestling. Maybe we'll give some match of the year candidates at the end, if you will. Yeah, exactly. Some star ratings and shit like that. But
right,
like this is something that like everyone is instantly back in on, like hip hop, because it feels like some things lately have been kind of boring and stale. And then now you have two of the biggest names going at it, like two of the biggest, like wrestling, right? Like two of the biggest superstars going at it. And I think it just instantly grabbed so many people's attention. And you mentioned, B, that this is like not just like nerding out over hip hop anymore, because legit every newscast I'm watching is talking about it, which is just crazy. Maybe because we're in Toronto, and again, Drake is like our, you know, superstar, but like it is just featured everywhere. So it's something that I guess, like they said, has been brewing up in a pot here. And maybe at the end of this, we can decide who we think won. But I think the world is kind of already decided on that.
I have Kendrick Lamar's Twitter up right now, just refreshing, just in case he dropped a response while we're recording. That would not shock me whatsoever with the speed that he's been responding. But yeah, as you were saying, like the whole world's talking. Like, my son was like watching some random like Fortnite video game streamer, and he just like randomly starts breaking down the beef, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, even my son is like knows about this. It's crazy. So wait, like, you're not like too fully into like the hip hop world, but what is it about this beef that really caught your attention?
So I'm trying to even think like when I might have first heard about it, and I probably jumped in, like I'm thinking a bit after like that. So I guess, something's just kind of catch your eye. And for me, like rap beef has always been to me like the most exciting times, in my rap fandom, because, there aren't many like public call outs that seem to occur, in other mediums. Like we're professional wrestling fans, right? You know, and we're talking about rap beef. It's basically like people cutting promos on each other and going back and forth and doing it like using this art form. And to me, it's like, I don't know, one of the most, pure expressions of the art form, because you know who exactly the person is talking about. There's so much weight attached to all these words because you're broadcasting on the biggest microphone, you know, through the form of song that might get played, you know, numerous times and studied numerous times. And of course, this is a feud, you know, containing like what I'm assuming to be like the two most successful, or at least like critically acclaimed rappers of this generation. So how could you not stop and look?
Yeah, I believe so, that these two are like the biggest juggernauts when it comes to even like award wins and just massive tour sales. I think these two, and in addition to J. Cole, I think are the biggest rappers of my generation, per se. Like, I just think that we were waiting for this, and that now we finally got it, we all do not know how to react to it because we didn't expect anything like this.
So let's kind of go to the beginning. So like these three were very close. They were obviously, like you said, they made songs together. What was it that like kind of like started the tension? Like, I know like Kendrick was invited to be on First Person Shooter, right? And he declined it. But was there like something prior to that that caused him to like kind of stay away from Drake?
It's kind of been back before.
Yeah, like before like Kendrick's first album, because they had the hit single together, Poetic Justice.
Yep.
Which is on Kendrick's first album, Good Kid, Mack City.
I believe Drake invited Kendrick on tour.
Yeah, this is where it goes. Yeah. Is Drake did one of his big tours called Club Paradise Tour or something like that. Based on the
Club Paradise.
Shout out Club Paradise, right? The strip club right around the corner from John Pollock's house. If anyone's interested, Drake history there. And then he had Kendrick and ASAP Rocky on tour, and he claims in many years in interviews that his album wanted him to have like R&B singers open up for him. And he was like, no, I want like these up and coming rappers. So he really fought for them. And then he had them on tour. And then I guess that's around the same time they made a few songs together. Kendrick's featured on an interlude on Take Care. And then Kendrick on a cipher, like kind of throws these like subtle disses at Drake, basically like kind of shading him. And then does the epic famous Control verse on that Big Sean song, and basically disses all these rappers, like probably names like 20 different rappers, but doesn't name Drake. And that offended Drake even more so, that's really what was like, all right, like screw you then. And then from then on, it kind of seemed like they just never crossed paths. Like they never really like intertwined until someone happened to ask Obama who would win in a rap battle, and he picked Kendrick, and that kind of got the internet like, oh, like Obama thinks Kendrick could, because they're kind of boys. Like that kind of really pissed off Drake even more, that I'm pretty sure Drake rapped about it in some songs about like, I don't care what, you know, the president or whatever. So they've really not like been together or been rapping together at all, not been in the same circles. It seemed like they had a bit of a like a falling out, and think like over those years Drake has really like ascended to like superstar status. That the fact that I go anywhere else in this world, people always ask me like, oh, Toronto, Drake. So it's not until now this verse this First Person Shooter that B, you mentioned, it sounds like Kendrick was supposed to be on it and then kind of dropped off, that they mention Kendrick, and then all of a sudden this Like That song comes out and just reignites everything, is kind of what sets this tone.
Well, Kendrick, if I'm a longtime listener of Kendrick, like back before his first album really broke, it was always kind of like kind of shots for Drake. You know, if you listen to Kendrick, all his older stuff, like after the Poetic Justice track.
Yeah.
It's kind of subtle shots to Drake and whoever thinks they're the better than Kendrick, you know, and Kendrick has that complex. He wants to be the best. He doesn't want to be mentioned with the best. He wants to be the king. And Drake hit the he hit the stride. It's kind of just hard to take that man down. You know what I mean? You got all these club bangers and Kendrick wants to just talk to you about certain social politics and stuff like that. You can't really match up to that. You know, so you can't really call yourself the king where you're not hitting that status that Drake hit, you know? Hmm. So he just figured he would out rap him.
Just to correct Braden earlier, Drake is mentioned in the control verse.
Yep.
He is mentioned in the control verse. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he mentions Drake really quickly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry. So I figured that he did it and that's kind of what pissed him off. But like he mentions him, but this is what clearly like splits them because they don't do anything other than those two songs off the beginning of their career. So it is interesting that like all this time has passed and yet they've never crossed paths. Like I've been to a Kanye show, which Kendrick was opening and Drake came out and like they weren't on stage together at the time, but, I'm pretty sure Kendrick's, I don't know if he's ever been to like an OVO fest either. Like, I feel like there's just not been, they haven't been doing songs ever since like those first few songs. I'm pretty sure the last time they did a song was on ASAP Rocky, right? Problems. That's probably the last time they ever were technically on a song together. And they've just kind of like been separate paths. And then really it's when the internet broke with this Like That verse. Cause I don't think J. Cole or Drake on First Person Shooter, like they don't diss Kendrick. In fact, they're saying he's like the best, like he's one of the three, but obviously Kendrick is like, fuck you.
Yeah. He took offense to even being mentioned with them.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured something was coming, but I didn't know he would go directly at Drake on Like That. I mean, I didn't know he would be on a Metro Boomin' and Future album at all. So that came as a shock within its own.
So like then there's Why Does Everybody Hate Him is like the big thing right now.
Yeah. The more and more you hear all the, you know, all the dirt sheets and stuff like that, you kind of piece it together. Like, oh, this guy hates Drake because of this and this guy. It's all different reasons, but I can't validate anything besides like Metro Boomin.
is there like hip hop dirt sheets? Like, is there like a Dave Meltzer of the hip hop world that kind of goes?
Yeah, his name is DJ Budden. Academics. His name is Joe Budden and DJ Academics. Yeah.
Can you explain
a couple
future?
Other guys like No Jumper and stuff too? Though.
Well, can you explain like the future in Metro Boomin? Why do they hate Drake?
Apparently, this is over like some beats for Drake and Metro.
That's crazy. No,
apparently, it's over some beats and someone holding someone from using some things. So,
oh, I don't know
that, and some women with Future or something. Yeah, like that. Yeah. I'm not sure. Like, this is all hearsay, you know.
Drake sounds the most butthurt out of this. Okay, so like to paint the picture for those trying to be like, I don't understand why everybody. It sounds like everybody who Drake has worked with in the past has now turned on him. Like, we're talking Rick Ross, Kendrick, Future, Metro Boomin, The Weeknd. There's like the list keeps going and going. ASAP Rocky, exactly. So it looks like some issues stem from Drake literally being the walking interpretation of Mr. Steal Your Girl, because it seems like that may have something to do with a few of the things. There's some rumors that ASAP and Rihanna were an item. Drake kind of swooped in there. And then even though all these years later, he's with Rihanna now, that stems the issues. That's rumors, obviously. But then there's stuff that maybe Drake and Future, they were beefing over a girl. It sounds like Drake is the most butthurt that Future and him are not friends right now.
Yeah, it does. He didn't really go. He went at everybody else.
Yeah. Future. Yeah. Nah, he's like my boy.
It was like, what's up, man? It was
like the Rick Ross thing is interesting. They have lots of music together. They've made a lot of stuff together. They have like apparently secret albums they've never released like on the cooler there. So it's like, it's strange that also there's beef there. The Weeknd has real beef with him because Drake basically wanted to sign him when he first started. And then The Weeknd was like, nah, I'm gonna be my own thing. And then like, look what happened to like Party and all the other OVO people. They're basically just the hit factory for Drake. And that's what The Weeknd would have been if he would have stayed. So I can see like why they always have on and off beef. But it's crazy that this has become Drake versus, like, he's the ultimate supervillain.
He's
taking on like the whole squad. So in wrestling terms, like, as much as anyone hates Drake, it's basically he's Stone Cold just trying. I mean, he's not. We'll talk about what wrestler I do think he is. Hogan.
Oh,
but he's just trying to beat up everyone. And like, even if you're the loser in this, even if you are legit the bad guy, the honor of trying to take on everyone is definitely wasn't missed there. Like, was not, you know, it's not respected. It was.
We'll get into like my thoughts about him trying to fight off everyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're all here for the main event. We're not here for Jimmy and Jay at WrestleMania. We're here for Cody and Roman. All right. That's what we're here for.
So,
here
okay. For
Kendrick and Drake.
When you first heard first person shooter or mm-hmm. the like that verse, was, I guess it was the like that verse that really mm-hmm. kicked things off. Like, you knew right away he was talking about Drake.
Yeah. It was probably from headlines, you know, that I think I put it all together. But like, I mean, I remember the Control verse and I think it was just, like, it was just, it always just seemed to me like Kendrick had a lot of energy for this sort of thing and was looking for a fight just to, you know, like flex his muscle and to maybe gain inspiration, you know, or just maybe to prove dominance. But I like to think it was more just like, hey, like, let's play. Like, you know, who's up for the challenge? You know, that sort of thing. I think I'm the best. You guys all say you're the best. Let's throw down. Let's like, you know, let's actually like prove it. And, I got really excited. And because this time it felt like, it was actually happening and that like people were actually going to, engage. So that's probably why, because I wanted to see what these best versions of these rappers looked like.
So on the Like That track, not only did he say, you know, fuck the big three, it's all about the big me, but this is where we kind of start the comparisons to Michael Jackson and Prince, comparing himself to Prince and Drake to Michael Jackson and saying things like, you know, Prince outlived Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson would be like a common name in this beat that we've heard and seen so far in these videos.
Yeah.
But yeah, how do we feel about that? Like Drake being the Michael Jackson to Kendrick's Prince.
So much of that is due to him surpassing Michael Jackson's sales. What is the actual record here?
Yeah, I think it's like number ones or something.
Hits on Billboard yeah. 100.
But I feel like Kendrick took on the Prince comparison just because of like what everybody says in these battles between Prince and Michael Jackson. Like, yeah, but Prince played all his instruments, you know.
Yeah.
Prince wrote his songs, and he wrote Apollonia 6 songs, and he wrote, you know, it's just the same thing. So, but we don't. It's still speculation between Drake writing his music and not, and that's always going to be a point in his battles. So I don't know if that's a plus or a negative for him, but that's just along the line of the Prince and Michael Jackson thing, man. It's going to be a comparison all the time. It's so easy to compare them to.
It's sort of like your classic battle of like, you know, the flashy, like sort of mainstream pop act versus the guy who's critically acclaimed and not necessarily as financially successful, but has the respect of his peers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in wrestling terms, who would that be, Brayden?
Yeah. It's like, okay, I know Drake is Canadian, but technically he's kind of Shawn Michaels. I'm not sure. I know we get a Sweet Chin Music line later from Kendrick, but but really it's like again, Drake is kind of Hulk Hogan. Whereas like Kendrick is,
you could say Sean and Brett, I think.
Yeah,
you
know? Like Sean and Brett, but kind of reversed because
Hogan
like
Macho would have been cool.
Yeah, but even like I'm not sure.
Flair Steamboat to some extent, you know, like Drake is very much like a Ric Flair, flamboyant, like flashy, like look at all the money I have. I don't know if Steamboat was ever like a conscious rapper equivalent, you know, in wrestling, but like compared to Flair, sure.
Yeah. I definitely give Drake the Hulk Hogan just because you think you ask anyone like, oh, you know, rap music. And they're like, yeah, Drake. And you ask anyone, you know, wrestling, they go, yeah, Hulk Hogan. You're like, man, like it's a lot of other wrestling out there.
Seen, CM Punk.
Who? Yeah. Like, okay. So Drake mentions the Michael Jackson, I'm one away from Mike. So beat it line. And then that makes
right.
Kendrick do the like that. And then a line in that song that was fucking fire was K with all these nines, he's gonna see Pet Cemetery, which I thought was crazy. So right away, like when I heard that, I was like, oh shit, like he's right away, he's talking about Drake. Like,
well, yeah, For All the Dog getting buried, it was what hit me. Exactly. I was like, whoa.
For All the Dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that happens, and it's like the whole media goes wild with, okay, he's dissing Drake and all this. And then J. Cole puts out a track,
He puts out an EP, a 12-song EP.
But the one song is the diss track.
Seven-minute drill, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. He puts out this song, and I remember because it was Philly weekend, and Cino, I wake up, and Cino's next to me, and he's like, yo, J. Cole dropped a diss track. I was like waking up, like, let's go play it right now. And we both were like, okay, kind of soft-ish. He doesn't really, like, say anything. And then before the day is even over, the song has been pulled and J. Cole waves the white flag and apologizes. For the first time in hip hop history, a rapper has rescinded his diss track right away and then says, I don't want the beef. I'm out. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, there's a whole thing you can unpack right there. How do you feel about that in this whole thing? Cause as this whole feud continues, as it's still going on, as we're recording this, J. Cole is just peacefully riding his bike somewhere in North Carolina, just smiling like, whew.
The thing is, like, initially I was like, and I'm a big J. Cole fan too. Initially I'm like, okay, I'm going to see two of my favorites going at it. And I know in 7 minute drill, the way I heard it, I'm like, yeah, that's a friendly spar. And Kendrick can go back and be friendly with them too. Not friendly all the way because he did say some things in there. But after hearing all of this and like this weekend, I think someone contacted the other and was like, hey, you don't want to stay in here. You don't want to stay in here. It's going to get really bloody. Right?
Well, J. Cole was saying things that were like just straight up untrue, calling what To Pimp a Butterfly boring and overrated when in hip hop. So it's like, did he realize that he just fucked up and said the wrong shit and he might as well delete it?
The Prize album was a dud.
I don't know. Let him cook for a second. Cause like, yeah, To Pimp a Butterfly is awesome, but it's not like I'm going to go ride my bike and listen to that music. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily the most playbackable. Good Kid, Mad City is still like the go-to one, but yeah, Cole saying those things was kind of silly. And then right away apologizes. Like, imagine Ether drops and Nas is like, actually, sorry, Jay-Z, I didn't mean to call you those things.
I wouldn't even say that it was compared to that.
It was
because Ether and Takeover are two juggernauts.
It's just but so like, weird.
It's the weirdest thing in hip hop I've ever heard. Even though, like, I've heard people say they're done listening to J. Cole because of that. Like, it's getting bad for him. But
in hindsight, he looks like the smartest guy of the three. It's a very I don't know, man. I don't know what you call it. I think it's a very like modern move to be, I guess so open and to allow yourself to be so publicly, vulnerable about your own feelings and your mentality about this. Cause like in years past, I think, especially when it comes to rap beef, so much of it is just about bravado and machismo and just, it's all about male toxicity, isn't it? You know, and to, just admit that you're going to step up because like I'm losing sleep over it. I'm not being true to myself. You know, this is affecting my mental health. That's a very modern take. And he certainly took his like beatings from it publicly. But I think in hindsight, I think he'll recover simply because he looks smart to not engage, especially when he's being true to himself. And you could tell from the music, he wasn't really feeling it because he doesn't have that hatred.
That is true. It does sound like that. So like, he does look like the smartest guy. Like he knew the ship was going down. He threw that life raft out. He's like, nah, you ain't getting me. I'm going. And it would be crazy if he were to come out and put something out, like mentioning Drake or Kendrick at all. Like he keeps mentioning, oh, I'm actually working on a full album that's going to come out. It's like, yeah, like no, everyone's going to want to listen to it simply to hear if you have anything to say about this whole thing. And as much as J. Cole might be like wiping his brow, like, oh boy, really dodged one there. I'm sure Drake and Kendrick's bank accounts from this whole thing might beg to differ on like how much, you know, interest and Google searches and money and streams and all this stuff. Cause all this does is help Drake and Kendrick make more money in the long run. But yeah, wow.
I think that's an interesting discussion. Like Drake would have made money anyway. He's already making a lot of money. Kendrick would too. Like, I think Kendrick has gained a lot of fans as a result of this.
Yeah.
has Drake gained fans, or has he lost them? Lost at least a portion.
Yeah.
But I feel like the people who like Drake, they're just like, we've seen him lose already in these things, and it only made him more. That feud last time, you could argue, made him even bigger, and he lost.
But that feud isn't like widely recognized as the L for Drake, though.
Yeah, it's not, because it's like,
it's Pusher, crazy to the me Pusher, because
it's like he Pusher, lost.
He literally waved the white flag. Oh, yeah. On Pusher.
Yeah, he lost,
and it's an L, and nobody really.
And then he went out and put a number one album.
And his core fans do not care. This is not going to hurt Drake. If he comes out and says, "I'm done with this battle now," it's not going to hurt us. It's not going to hurt him.
He'll make a song or an album about how, like, oh, poor me.
This is different, though. Like, it's one thing to you know, I guess have the public recognize that you have a child that you've been hiding. It's another to be accused of being a pedophile.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
And to be a sex trafficker. Now, that's the type of allegation that'll affect your business. It'll affect your deals, you know, in more ways than the Adidas run was affected by Adidon. So I don't know. I think that the fallout remains to be seen, but we're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
Okay. J. Cole pulled back. He's like, I don't want the smoke. I'm done. Sorry. Let me go ride my bike and be happy. And then Drake says, no. I'm putting a song out, because it seems like everybody is clowning him. It seems like all his friends are turning on him. So he releases Push-Ups, Drop and Give Me 50, which at first, we're in the new era of rap beef, guys. Did you think this was AI for like the first few? Because like at first people,
yes,
so it's not real. So you're like, okay, if this is real, like, hey, this is pretty good. He's saying some crazy things here, but the first time listening to this, I'm like, is this real? Is this AI? Because we like to listen to those like AI tracks. So I'm like, I don't know what's real and what's not and stuff. But the way his tone was and the way his like certain.
Well, the original version had like the Get Money sample from a Junior Mafia. So it seemed like it wasn't like the official version anyway. So that's why it kind of sounded a little off. But yeah, we'll be talking more about AI later on. But that's like the weird part about this is like hip hop has changed so much where it's like, when it was Jay-Z and Nas, you have to wait till like, you know, Hot 97 will play the song or whatever, or wait till the video drops on MTV. But now it's like the speed that we're getting these is like 10 seconds later, like we found out Kendrick has a diss song, whatever. So it's just times have changed, right? You're bringing in AI, you're bringing like, you know, Instagram, you're bringing in like all these posts that people are digging up, old videos from YouTube people are digging up. So it's so much more ammunition for these rappers. And it's a lot more dangerous. Like, I hate to say it, but like, I'm fearing for, not for them, but like, I'm fearing for just fans in general, because they're taking it to the next level with some of the things that they're saying and finding.
They're doing the digging for them, right? Like for this feud.
Yeah,
you know,
no any work has to be done about
ours. Any information and things we see, they could also see, right? But
I'm going to get back to that. Keep that in mind. I'm going to get back to that later.
You hear that
on
a lot in these songs. I'll get back to that.
Yeah. So, my thing, when I first heard the Push-Up song, and this is what kind of like takes away some points for me for this Drake rollout, because he didn't claim that song till like 4 days later. So he had us all speculating, like, is this AI? We don't know if it is. And then he starts posting about it. So everybody's like, oh, it's true. Because I remember posting myself, like, I'm not going to believe anything till it's on Apple Music. Yeah. Because everybody was saying it's, and then certain things he says is like, Drake wouldn't say that.
Well, was
like,
it leaked though? Was it leaked?
Yeah, then the leak sure thing leaked too.
I think it was
like,
leaked. Yeah, that's how you know leaked? The old days of hip hop when you started seeing.
Is anything leaked? Yeah,
yeah. CD quality rip leak. I'm like, holy shit, hip hop is back, man. No,
yeah, get out of here.
But you know what? Like, I like this track. I like Back to Back, because in the first time in history, that song was such a big hit and killed Meek, because you play that in the fucking clubs and people would go crazy. And like, you hear Hit 'Em Up in the clubs, but you don't hear Ether in the club. You don't hear Takeover in the club. You hear Back to Back all the time. So I'm like, that's crazy. And then Drake would make so many more lines about Meek Mill being like, yeah, we were bumping that in the club and you're forced to hear that for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So as soon as he comes out with this track, Push-Ups, and I'm not saying it's as good of a club banger as Back to Back, I can already like, okay, the next time I go out downtown, you're probably going to hear this track and you'll probably hear it down the line. And like at least some of it, right? Because the Drop and Give Me 50 line is pretty catchy. And when it came out only to a few days ago, I'd say this one has the most like replay value on like the radios or whatever, just because of the beat like and the style of the song. It's a classic. It's just a Drake song, but he's angry at like 20 people. But there's a song later that I think has the more radio club banger aspects. But for going off on like 20 different people, it seems. I thought he kind of held his own and kind of telling, you know, The Weeknd to shut up, to Metro play some drums, and there was a pretty iconic line, and boy, did Metro listen to him. But he really, again, like, all the credit to him for, like, legit going. I didn't expect this. I just expected him to sit quietly, but to legit just fire off on all these mans who like he feels did him wrong. It was, I don't know if admiral is the word, but I guess I'll go with that. Cause I got to give him he has the cojones to go off on all his like former friends who are now his foes.
I'm curious, B, like, what are the lines that people were saying they wouldn't have expected from Drake?
It was the way his voice would like switch up, and like the way he would say the word nigga, and it was like in and out, and it was like really hard on the A. It was like, wow, Drake, you know, a certain thing. Now that I know it's real, it's like, did he mean to make it sound like that? You know, because like, even when he says it now, it's like, no, it's that's how he says it on regular songs, but. Something about those first initial time hearing push-ups, it was like, this doesn't seem right, you know?
So let's break down some of the bars. So here he says, you better do that motherfucking show inside the bitty. Maroon 5 need a verse. You better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. So correct me if I'm wrong. He's accusing Kendrick of being mainstream, working with Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift. But doesn't Drake also work with mainstream artists? Like, that's why I don't really
understand. He's the most mainstream rapper there is.
But he's calling Kendrick a hypocrite.
He's literally the
most. Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you. I've been to like three Drake shows and legit three Kendrick shows. And I'll tell you, the last two times seeing Kendrick, it was all white people. It was all white people at Kendrick Lamar. The last two times I've seen him. Yeah, when when I've been to OVO Fest, there're not a lot of white people at the concert. Yeah. I noticed.
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to say like, "Oh, like you're doing songs with Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift," when like I'm not, I mean, he does not have songs with Maroon 5 or Taylor Swift, but Drake, you are way more poppier than Kendrick. Like, he's way more like the pop.
I don't even know the Maroon 5 or Taylor Swift Kendrick songs, and I'm a Kendrick fan. I have no idea what those songs are.
Bad Blood and Don't Wanna Know were the two songs that he was,
could play them right now.
I didn't know he had a song with Maroon 5.
I had no idea either.
Fuck Maroon 5. But
so what does he mean by this line? So he says, you ain't in no big three. SZA got you wiped down. Travis got you wiped down. Savage got you wiped down. Speaking about SZA, Travis Scott, and 21 Savage.
He's basically saying that all of those people are better than him.
Okay.
SZA is on TDE, and that's why he named her first. And then all these other people that he associates himself with too. So, and this is not true. this is also not true.
I will give him credit for the line. Like your label boy, you in a scope now, and you're gonna feel the aftermath of what I write down. That was me.
Yeah, flashy bar. Now, don't get me wrong. Push-ups, I think, was the best way he could have started this beef. He couldn't have jumped in it any better. He jumped in it authentic Drake style. This is what the people wanted. Drake fans wanted him to jump out like this, and they love this song. I like the song too. I'm not even a Drake fan like that, but this is how he's supposed to did it. I give him points for that. But I mean, the way he wrote it out was bad, so he still get like -2 for me.
I think the hook is catchy. I think it's clever. Yep. I think it's kind of like what I might have expected out of a first round. You know, like you're not getting that personal. Like this is Drake kind of like criticizing, I guess Kendrick's deal and basically claiming his superiority as a business person and success, financially. Which I think was probably like the most, ammunition that Drake really had on top of, I guess, making fun of his height and his shoe size, which, you know, for again, first round, like I, this is great. Like this is exactly like maybe classic, like rap beef stuff. You know, this is what you have to make fun of, somebody without doing that much research. Like it's still kind of friendly fire at this point. You know, you're laughing at the other person, but like you're not really sacrificing too much of another person's career.
Yeah, that could throw some funny lines at you real quick, get everybody laughing, get some memes out there for you, and you know, in the first round.
Again, he went off on like so many people. Like he's throwing shots at Rick Ross, he's throwing shots at The Weeknd. So it really felt like he was just coming out swinging. So I do give respect. Just the one line I hated, which was like right at the beginning of the song, which was just like, I'm out in Tokyo because I'm big in Japan. I'm like, all right.
If there's a reference,
there is supposed to be a reference because it's some like girl related I don't know, but still, it was a weird one. But I did like this track, and I was like, all right, this is what's going to kick things off. Like, this is a pretty good starter, and so I feel like it was.
All the momentum is on Drake's side at this point, because he's the one who's actually engaged. Like, this is like your first direct shot full song, you know, where he addresses Drake, not just
point,
the verse.
Point Drake in this round for me.
Oh, yeah. and Ceno, the Chippendale, because people call Future Pluto. So he mentions himself Drizzy Chippendale, which most people just be like, is he referring to himself as a Chippendale dancer? I'm not sure, but
what's the feud between Pluto and Chippendale?
Well, Pluto's always trying to catch him, right? Chippendale always stealing all the fruits from Mickey Mouse's vegetable garden, and Pluto's got to do his due diligence as a dog and kill them.
That was a deep cut, Drake. That was a really deep cut.
Drake knows his Disney.
Yeah,
there's a joke in there somewhere that I'm not going to make. But
so Wei had mentioned the line about the shoe size. So one of the common things here are like the album cover arts or the single cover arts for this. And this one started it with like the sneaker picture with the US size 7 for with the barcode and everything. So
So we move on to the next track. What was the next one?
Well,
so
it'd be before that, we had a little side mission. We're not going to talk too much about this, but I guess one Rick Ross took offense to this because he came out with his own Champagne Moments track talking about what Drake's getting plastic surgery. That's one of the common threads that we hear throughout this whole beef is
BBL
Drake's had a lot of BBL.
Started the BBL Drake.
Accusations from Rick Ross here.
You're only as good, your song is only as good as the memes that precedes it, so...
Look, you know what?
I think Rick Ross got a W with that one.
People seem to think this was a good diss track from
Rick Ross. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, like he really took some shots. The thing is, from me, look, Rick Ross and Drake, this was just the end of their relationship. And like, I love Rick Ross when he's on AEW, but Rick Ross, what have you done for me lately other than doing songs that were with Drake that went number one? And Drake knows that. And the memes of Rick Ross performing in high school gyms are not doctored. He performs at proms, okay? Like, it's tough to say, but Rick Ross was really good when he's got songs with Drake. Like, that era back then was legendary run, but man, you haven't really put out good shit in a long time. So for him to put out a diss track, for me, it was him trying to stay relevant, and I thought the diss track was really good, but Drake is just like, I don't care. I do not care.
You know, I can't let you... This is the plight of an older rapper, okay?
He is old.
That's just what happens. You know, it's not like Rick Ross is, though, trust me, he's well off. The man owns steak and GameStop. I mean, it's going crazy.
Lemon pepper.
But yeah, he just does these things. Like you can catch any older rapper doing any random soundboard somewhere in any random state. It's just like, yeah, they're not treated as well as elder rock stars, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's his hip-hop,
but it's his demeanor. Like it almost feels like he's trying to, hey, wait, let me in here, let me try to stay irrelevant in the thing. And I mean, Drake still mentions him in a few other songs, but that seemed to be it.
Think about it this way, like, to me personally, at least, and you guys could agree or disagree, but like the last couple of years, hip-hop in general has been really lackluster. Like, nobody's really talking about it. There's a couple songs here or there, but it's not like the talking point. So somebody like Rick Ross to hear what's going on with Drake and Kendrick, of course he's going to want a part of it. Just like wrestling, right? You see in Hot Angle, they're going to want to join the NWO. Somebody's going to want to join the match or whatever. So it's the same thing here. Rick Ross is trying to catch any momentum that's happening here and hopefully try to capitalize off it. But he quickly was kind of pushed aside because not even a week later, Taylor Made Freestyle came out with Drake featuring Tupac and Snoop Dogg.
this was hilarious because you didn't like this one? Okay, Wei, what did you think about AI...
My initial reaction when Ceno sent it to me was, like, it was horrifying to hear, like, you know, Tupac rap, with Drake's flow. And, I was just like almost flabbergasted, but especially like, I think in the way it fits into like this overall feud as almost just a sort of like prodding rather than like an official round, I liked it. Like I felt like it took a lot of the AI discussion that was going around about like, you know, who's like, is this a real reply from Kendrick? Is this a real reply from Drake? He took it. He made that relevant. And I think the storytelling in the song is good, you know, using Pac and using Snoop to basically encourage and prod Kendrick about, you know, dropping earlier.
I think, when I first turned it on and I heard the AI and I was just like, all right, I don't want to hear past Tupac because it was just that bad for me. But then I stomached it and then I got through it and I was just like, dude, okay, first of all, if the things that Tupac and Snoop were saying were good, then maybe I would have gave it a shot. But even their bars were terrible. And I was just like, all right. So I didn't even know Drake was on the end of this for like 2 days. So I went and listened to the entire thing.
Like, the Tupac thing makes sense because obviously he's not with us anymore. But like, to do Snoop Dogg, like somebody who's still
here.
Alive.
Who, yeah.
Somebody who's
yeah.
pretty close. I mean, they're both from Compton, right? They should be close to think Snoop and Kendrick.
Compton, but they just did the Super Bowl together. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
I don't know. The first reaction, to quote Kendrick, I remember you was conflicted because that's clearly what he's doing, right? He's using what Kendrick on one album, was it To Pimp a Butterfly, where he uses like the interview with Tupac and then edits in himself. So it sounds like Kendrick and Tupac are having a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So that's definitely Drake playing with him here, because the initial reaction when Drake posted this, I was like, all right, he dropped something. It must be some sort of freestyle. Click it. And I hear Pac's voice. I covered my mouth, like almost audibly gasped, like, you bastard, you're using a Tupac voice changer? Like, that's the most bitch ass corniest shit, but my God, it works, because this is what today's age is. Like, this is what people do and use like memes.
I don't want that to become hip hop.
I hope it doesn't. I really do. But like, man, hearing Tupac say like, fuck this Canadian and all this shit, like, he's just really like playing with him here. And I thought
has anybody clarified? So is it Drake's lyrics, which is funny to say, because that's a, you know, ghostwriting is a topic for Drake, but is it like his lyrics that he put in for Tupac? And
of course it is.
I think it's a voice changer.
It's credited to Drake, whatever you want to consider that. But like, you can tell by the flow, it's Drake flow. And I don't think he was trying to hide it. Like, this is, to me, not dissimilar to like somebody mimicking Tupac's voice, you know, to deliver a diss at, I guess, somebody who considers like Tupac a mentor, except it's just using modern technology. And I think it's meant to get this exact reaction of revulsion from people who are fans. The fact that he got Snoop on, to me, was more of a sign that this was like, you know, not just a shot at Kendrick specifically, but maybe a shot at the West, you know, and him kind of turning this into like a bigger, like, what are you going to do about it? You know, I'm going to use your idols to against your own.
Yeah,
and, but like, as a chess move, as a strategy, I mean, we saw Drake do this with Back to Back. Like, he's releasing two songs in a row to continue to build on the momentum and to increase expectations from Kendrick, and also to rush Kendrick potentially. So as a chess move, I thought it ended up being a good one for me.
Yeah but I think it just soured a lot of people on it, though. Like, Back to Back, nobody would dispute that was like back to back bangers. But this, I don't think this one was even at that range.
I'd say this
a lot
was
of people
weaker.
Said no on this one.
It, for me, it was like shock value, but it was almost like a teaser, because this whole song, he's really just saying, he doesn't say anything that damning. Really. He's just literally like, hey, when are you going to, hey, he's poking the bear.
And he
like,
hasn't
hey.
Officially released it. It's an Instagram.
Yeah, it was just an Instagram.
Well, it was taken down. Tupac's estate. Yeah. That and was like, yeah, no.
Which he claims Kendrick told them to do, or said that he did. But like, it's just something, I mean, he posted on Instagram, and I thought it was,
that, you know.
I felt like it was like a little like smart side thing to get it going, but I wouldn't consider it one of the top songs in this week. It's probably on the lower end, but still, like, the shock value of hearing Pac diss Kendrick was like, oh shit, that's kind of smart, that's kind of clever. And in 2024, that's like, we've never seen that before. So I thought that was pretty cool. But then he's waiting. He's dropped two songs. And then what happens next? We all enter.
Well, before that, let me really quick. So Taylor Swift didn't respond to this because she was name checked again. And she said in the past, like, I won't ever respond if anybody like name drops me in hip hop songs or whatever. But Snoop Dogg did respond on Instagram with, and I quote, they did what? When? How? Are you sure? I'm going back to bed. That was it for Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, it was a video. Yeah, I watched it. He's just staring at his camera like, what? Like, burning one? I'm like, oh my God.
Masterpiece.
Yeah.
So that was on April 19th, 2024, Taylor made Freestyle. April 30th, we get Euphoria.
Euphoria.
Euphoria. Kendrick Lamar's second entry into this beef. And I thought he knocked it out the park with this one.
I mean,
a lot of people don't think he did, but just some of the lines he just threw at him, and he's got a little chant going with the "I hate the way you think." A lot of people's running with the hate thing right now, and they're using him for everything. Like I said, you're only as good as the memes you got after the damn show. So I think Kendrick came out of this with enough. He said enough. He opened a lot of doors. His flow was crazy. The beat was nice. It's just a lot going on with this song. And I think it got discredited coming out the gate, you know, because Drake had a lot of momentum with those two back-to-back songs, and it got discredited. I think when people go back, we're gonna appreciate a lot of these songs later. But Euphoria is one of those songs. It's like, oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. He dropped it on what, six? No, I'm sorry. Does it have some meaning behind the date of that?
I don't think so. I know, like, the title Euphoria is based on what, the TV show that Drake is an executive producer on.
And the cover
on.
Art was the definition of Euphoria, right?
Yes, where Merriam-Webster themselves on Twitter retweeted it, and they were very happy that they were used Which on the album crazy. Cover for this.
You might be thinking about 616 for
yeah.
the date.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Right.
I thought this track was great, though. Like, right out the gate, he was swinging. It's definitely when the beat changes, when it really gets hard and feels like he's really coming after him. But yeah. I mean, in the early the first part, he's like, man, like, shut up. You used to wear Tommy Hilfiger. You didn't wear FUBU. Get the fuck out here, which I thought was
it's basically
funny.
A poem letting you know how this beef is going to go. I'm going to talk about his blackness. I'm going to talk about these allegations. I'm going to talk about his son. I'm going to talk about his family. And you can read that as a poem. And I guarantee you everything that he says in those lines, he talks about in the preceding songs. And it's masterful.
He has some crazy lines. I mean, he mentions him being a Canadian again, which is funny. Because Drake brings up in Push-Ups, like, I get more reaction in your city. And I think that is something that he regrets saying, because
he's going to have to.
Yeah. his last show on his tour is there. So he's going to have some issues. But so in Euphoria, though, like, there's some crazy lines from Kendrick that he like really like scathes him. He mentions the big three again and says, like, oh, he does quote saying, like, Drake, I do think you are in the big three, because he says, yeah, there is a big three, and I see two of them on stage hugging and kissing each other.
I pray they're my real friends, if not on Y and W.
Need I explain? YMW Melly. So YMW Melly is currently on trial, right, Sino? He's currently on trial still for
double murder.
Yeah, allegedly murdering his friend and riding shotgun with him in the car and like riding around for a little bit. It's a little bit more into the story, but that's kind of where the bar went with Kendrick. So right. Another one he said was F all that push and P. Let me show you push a T.
T.
You might as well spin the block again. On him before you spin on me. Now, which is another reference to you losing the battle to push a T.
Who's his boy?
Yeah, I think and people will say that Kendrick is kind of like taking the format that Pusha T took to diss Drake, and it's just the format that's out there for everybody to diss Drake.
And these two have history. Nostalgia, I think, is the track, which is just a fire track with
Pusha and
Kendrick. I think Pharrell produces on his latest album as well.
Yeah, oh, okay. More about Pharrell, he talks about in the 40 track too. Pharrell.
A crazy line is headshot for the year, you better walk around like Daft Punk.
Yeah,
that was that. You better wear metal protectors on your head, because you're gonna get shot up this next year.
My favorite bar is "Let it get shaky, I park your son." I got up from my seat when he said that.
There's some crazy stuff he says to this, and back to back. I like that record. The best part of the diss, the diss tracks from both sides through this whole thing is maybe just I'm deep down, I am a nice guy, no matter how hard I pretend I am. But they also diss each other, but they also show love for each other in the weirdest ways, because he's like, back to back, I like that record. Now, of course, he might be talking about a different back to back record, but there's times when like he mentions, yeah, you are in the big three, or like the different times they mention, oh, I do like your songs. I love when you sing, actually. I like them, because there is video proof of them vibing to each other's music even after all these years. So I do like the subtle, like, yeah, you are actually like, you are a superstar.
Well, he's saying, I like you there. You should stay in that lane and don't try to come into this one.
Yeah, yeah. That's
this is my favorite song of the entire feud so far.
Euphoria?
Yeah, yeah.
So far.
So far. For me, it's like, I think every line is packed with meaning. I think he's so scathing and thoughtful with the deconstruction of, yeah. of Drake. You know, everything from like questioning his authenticity to questioning all the Toronto slang in the last 20 seconds is incredible. Like the fact that he went on to do that sort of research and to use it on Drake, and it's just like the flow, you know, it's just like there's to me just no comparison between like Drake at his best. I really enjoy it, but like Kendrick is really on another level with like voice control and just delivery. Criticizing him for being an absent father in here, yeah. as well. There's just like so much. I think that's like really well delivered and well packed and well thought out, even compared to Push Ups, which is I think a lot more of a superficial.
Yeah, insult, I mean, compared. And then the biggest thing in hip hop beef history for me was I'm texting with you, Wei. I'm like, hey, Kendrick dropped Euphoria. Check this out. And then like I listened to it and I thought it was crazy. Picked up on some lines.
Yeah.
And then you replied to me, can't believe New Ho King got a reference, and I was like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
So I played it back.
This is where I jumped out of my seat. This is where I had your Parkinson's reaction.
Okay, so New Ho King is on Spadina in Toronto. By this point, you've already heard of it. You're probably hearing it.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So I have been going to this. It's like one of the only like open really late Chinese spots. So like so many people go after the clubs on Fridays and Saturdays, and they're always open till like 4 or 5 a.m. You get the cold tea, all that stuff. But it's been like a Toronto staple. I would say don't go there when you're sober, go there when you're drunk and get the fried rice. Kendrick was not lying about that. So I'd be at New Ho King with the fried rice and the dip sauce and a blammy, Crody, which is crazy.
Tell
and
me this is
my favorite line in the entire whole thing. By the way, if you go to New Ho King, yes, get the beef or the pork fried rice and then get the Cantonese chow mein as well. And the crispy beef is also fucking chef's kiss.
They have to add like something on the menu called hip hop beef or something, right? They have to capitalize on this. They have to do hip hop beef.
I think they're doing a 50% off of sale this past weekend, actually, to capitalize off
of. You'd have to say those two bars to get 50% off. I'm sorry. You would have to say that. I'm like, you just not get 50%
like something tells me Drake. No, like way. Something tells me Drake is more of a Hongxing, maybe a bit more like higher end, you know, Pearl or something like that because of the money. But New Ho King is pretty affordable.
So depending on how deep like you want to get into this, there's been some speculation that the specific mention of New Ho King is also in reference to like a Toronto rapper named Sizzla that was murdered for basically I think he did a video called Sizzla is like King of the Six or something like that.
Right, right.
And then shortly after recording
filming it,
he was shot and killed.
Yeah.
And
There's been shootings at New Ho King, by the way. There's like, yeah, there has been like robbery. Yeah,
it's been
people getting jumped.
And I don't know if it had
Drake
something
was
to
robbed there.
Well, Drake was robbed at a nearby Italian restaurant, not that far
at
away.
New Ho King, yeah.
Yeah, in Little Italy. But there's at least some speculation that it might be related to like the Bloods and the Crips, or whatever. You know, Toronto iteration of that might be. So you could go like into a deeper rabbit hole if you want to like maybe speculate on the specific mention of New Ho King.
But it's crazy because right away I went to give my review and I wrote, Kendrick told me to go here. The fried rice is lit. And then an hour later, there was like 100. And then it was posted on TikToks and news articles. They interviewed the owner who's been serving me there for like the past 15 years. Like he's been working there since he was like 18 years old. And to see him on the news promoting and as the giant smile, he was like, he probably didn't even know who Kendrick was. And he's just like, wow, thanks, man.
I guess I just laugh like when I see like the owner or like other people interpreting this as like Kendrick must like really recommend the fried rice. It must taste really good. This is no recommendation of the food quality that's there. Okay, it's a recommendation for hey, if you want to show up with your fried rice and maybe catch some
get shot
gang warfare, like this is the place to go.
He also calls him Crody. So like Crody is a real Toronto slang.
It's supposed to be like a Crip version of Brody. So they dropped the beat.
Yeah. Also Drake's cat is named Crody. So
wow. So what is Drake in the Crips
crazy.
Or what?
Like, which
what?
Is crazy.
No, it's just like, you know, Wei, you know, like the stupid Toronto slang thing lately. I've been getting so many Americans asking me, listeners, and like, do you talk like this?
Yeah,
and it's like, fam, utes, you know, all these things, like the weird we think we invented this, but we really just took it from everywhere else. So really, we're just like Drake, I guess. But yeah, shout but out
the fact that Kendrick like put that in the end of this is just
come on.
I can't get off Euphoria without getting to the point of him questioning Drake's blackness and then starting a chant about we don't want to hear you say nigga no more. The thing is with me, I felt that sometimes when Drake does use it, it was cringe before I heard this song. So like, it was like, damn, he's saying what I can't help but like this now. He's saying what I've been thinking for years, you know, but he's poking at Drake and he's poking him because he's like, you're having an identity crisis in front of us. And I like that he's taking so many different angles at Drake. And Drake's got like three, but Kendrick's like poking at like four or five different things to fuck with him about. And it's so funny to me that see him scrambling, trying to get back. But that was a main topic for me because it's like, dude.
Huh. Did you always feel that like throughout his career?
Yeah.
And why?
Certain rappers, not even because of their like their background at all. It's just how you deliver it, you know, like certain people just deliver it like it's not authentic. And sometimes on Drake's songs, it just wasn't authentic. Then you hear him speak regularly. It's like, do you say that in regular conversation? You know, is it a part of like your lexicon, dude? Like, is that what you're doing, Drake? I don't know, but I don't think he would speak to people who he can use that freely with all the time either. So I got to give him that pass too.
Okay. So maybe just from my perspective, and not to speak on that aspect of it, but just to speak on Drake's general authenticity and my feeling towards him, my first introduction to Aubrey Graham was as Jimmy from Degrassi. Wheelchair Jimmy. So like I knew him as an actor first and foremost. Like this is a relatively popular show. I've seen him speak in interviews. He sounds nothing like he sounds today, nor like when he started to speak as a, you know, like when he became a rapper. So immediately, like, I recognize this dude as like pretty inauthentic, or at least like playing a role. So I mean, I can't imagine when it's, you know, when it gets supposed to be like that much deeper, like how you're supposed to feel. So, yeah.
It's like I said, it's just the feeling when you hear it. It's just like, I don't think you say that every day.
Okay.
You
like,
know, I think you're using it for your advantage sometimes.
To unpack, like, okay, so any rapper, they're like wrestling, right? Like you meet a wrestler, you see them on TV and then you meet them in person. They're probably not speaking the way they speak on TV unless they're really in character or whatever, but it's kind of like kayfabe, but for rap. Like I've had the honor and pleasure of meeting many rappers where I'm listening to their music and the way they sound doesn't, you know, when I talk to them and say, hey, I'm a big fan, they're like, oh, hey, thanks, yo, very much. And it's like, whoa, okay, you're actually just like a real person. I'd say like the Drake character is a character. Like he built this and made this from like thing. But as much as people will jump on and say, oh, like it's a fake made up thing, like I'd say, you know, most rappers turn it up a bit, like wrestling. You take yourself and you turn it up to 10 to kind of get the best out of you. The only person I've seen truly live the gimmick is Riff Raff. Like he's the only one. Like
he's a different kind of guy.
Yeah, like that's about it. But
I don't sound the same when I rap.
But yeah, to go back to, I think this part of the song that like, hey, we don't want to hear you say that no more. That sparked some conversations online, and I'm sure in friend groups and things like that. Because I'm a white guy, but I have friends. Some of them are mixed, and some of them are light skin, if you will. And this brings up conversations in groups that friends have had. And things like that. So unfortunately, I think this was the part of the feud that I felt for certain people, including some friends that I know that are like, man, I like both these guys. And now my other friends are saying that like, hey, you better listen to Kendrick because maybe you shouldn't be saying that kind of thing. Right. So it's like,
but
it's
is Kendrick saying
doors, right? Like
the debate is whether or not Kendrick is in fact like saying that based off of Drake's ethnicity, or if it's his sort of maybe more cultural authenticity.
I think it's more cultural because when you look at videos of like, then even Drake questions his Kendrick's wife,
Exactly. Then he brings up that,
And then I just want to harp off because J. Cole's mixed, but
right.
It's not the same thing because Cole's not one of those guys who's jumping out. He's trying to, you know, take a different route from it too, but. It's just the, like I said, it's the feeling. It's how it's said, how how do you feel cringe when you hear it? You know, like everybody's going to feel the same cringe. It's not just because I'm black.
It's I think it's I think you guys hit it the head right the nail right on the head. Like, it's not an authenticity thing. It's all about like who's saying and how you project it. Like if I run into Eddie Kingston in Yonkers and he drops the N-word, nobody's even gonna like bat an eye at that because
of course
we're in Yonkers, we're in New York, and like I feel like that's a common thing here. But like to hear somebody like Drake say it, it does kind of like make you kind of question it a little bit. Before we move on, one topic I want to get on really quick. There's a lot of layers to this beef. Obviously, there's the lyrics and there's the cover art that we talked about. But another thing is like the production. And I'm obviously really heavy into production, so I catch on little things. So every time a song drops, the first thing I do is like, what's that sample? How does it connect to everything? And Euphoria started with something that that Kendrick does on a regular. He kind of reverses things, plays them backwards. And it's a quote from the Wiz and the Richard Pryor quote where he's pretty much saying like, I'm a phony. Everything they say about me is a phony. And it's just interesting because that's another movie that stars Michael Jackson. So you have another little Michael Jackson connection there. But the sample itself is a Teddy Pendergrass sample. You're my latest, my greatest inspiration. And I think that's where the back-to-back line that we were alluding to earlier connects, because the next song he has an Al Green song, Al Green sample. And that's 616 in LA, which I think is probably my favorite song.
Is that the next song, right?
That's the next song. On May 3rd with 616 in LA. And this is where we can talk about all the numbers and how they relate to everything.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the name alone, right? So Drake is known for releasing certain songs with timestamps and the city he's in when recording. I'd say like 5 a.m. in Toronto, one of the famous ones. But he's got like numerous ones on different albums and singles. So for Kendrick to do that before Drake could do one, because you knew Drake was like, oh, I'll just create a name and timestamp date for one of these songs. But Kendrick kind of beating him at his own game here. And then one of the producers on the track, Jack Antonoff, who is Taylor Swift's producer.
Yep.
So he gets her, him on this track.
Taylor made
beef track right here. I'd say this one had the most oomph. The most attack, I'd say, for me. Like, I think this is maybe one of my least favorite ones. I know, Sino, you just said you think this one's one of your favorites, but why do you think that? I feel like this one maybe flew under the radar because I was still taking in Euphoria, and then Drake responded after this one. But what was it with this one that you liked?
I don't know, just like the overall like confidence he had in it. He said a lot of things that I didn't know about Drake. I'm trying to get the lyrics up now, but just like, I feel like there's a lot more context to it. Like, I feel like what we've heard has been a lot of the same with Drake, like, oh, you know, he's had surgery done, and you know, he's mixed or whatever, and he's a pedophile, this and that. But I feel like there's a lot more layers to this song where it really got me like thinking and kind of like looking through the lyrics and trying to find out exactly what he was talking about. Just the overall just feel this just made it feel like he was like, this is a real beef now.
Well, can we get into while you look up the lyrics, I'm gonna just get into the cover art a little bit, because Kendrick dropped this on his Instagram page. He didn't make an official drop on his YouTube like all his other drops. He dropped it on his Instagram page. So it's a kind of a portrait shot of one single Maybach glove. And it's laying on but it's some kind of cloth text
glove.
Yeah, it's one single Maybach.
If it doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Right. And the significance behind 616, it says the time of death that Nicole Brown Simpson was pronounced dead. It's Tupac's birthday.
Father's
Day currently this year. What was the other? I think it's a couple more. Right?
June 16 was the date of Kendrick's first concert in Toronto.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it's kind of like a lot of people say he's playing 4D chess here.
Yeah, he also starts off by calling him the Off-White Sunseeker, and Drake literally in one of those disses, the TaylorMade one, he ends off by spouting like, oh, I can't wait for you to drop, like hit me with those quintuple entendres and some shit. And like, yo, Kendrick was like, all right, like, bet. Because like, he hits him with some crazy shit, bro. Yo, he hits him with some crazy. This one, Sino, you like looking at the lyrics for 616 in LA, like, this one's got some like deeper shit you might not like understand. And then like, genius. Well, shout out genius.com.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. So like, the one line that stood out to me was when he said, have you ever thought that OVO is working for me? Fake bully. I hate bullies. You must be a terrible person. Everyone inside your team is whispering that you deserve it. So he's pretty much insinuating that somebody on the inside of Drake's team is giving him information. And this will maybe come back and bite Kendrick in the ass later on, because maybe this information wasn't true. But like, how do you guys feel about that? Do you feel like there's moles in each camp? I mean, there has to be, right? For all this information to leak out. It's just like wrestling. There's leakers out there. There's people out there that are giving inside information.
I can't see a mole being in PG Lang, for the simple fact that it's not a lot of people around Kendrick. And he doesn't live a crazy life. Drake doesn't, you don't really need a lot of, you know, moles in your camp to see what Drake is up to. He's a social media darling.
Yeah.
So it's not like you need, but you kind of need the things that, like, a Maybach glove. You kind of need that to get.
Yeah, so that was like we weren't sure what that all was about yet, and him saying the leaks and stuff like that. So, I mean, should we go to the next one from that one? Because
any more bars you got, Sino, from 616?
Not necessarily. I just feel like the overall flow with the Al Green sample. Just it felt like an actual song, like a song that I would play on the regular without. Like I think that alone is what kind of stood out for me. But like even like the cover art and like the glove and like we later find out there's more to this picture. And like this is where I really started to like it's like the White Rabbit thing. I'm really like paying attention to every single detail. Like what's the samples? How does this relate to everything?
To me, it was also like a recognition that now Kendrick was playing Drake's game. You know, he's releasing back to back. He's doing like an Instagram exclusive, or at least like an unofficial release, you know, the same way that Drake would. And he's like putting the memes, or like he's using the thumbnails to tell a deeper story. Yep. So to me, it was a recognition that it was like Kendrick, like it was a lot more than I expected from Kendrick. You know, I was expecting like great song, but like not really all the stuff around it. And it was, this was me telling me that he's been thinking about this and strategizing in a different way.
I wasn't expecting, like you said, the speed that Kendrick responded with two back to back. I thought we were going to sit on Euphoria for like a couple more days.
Yeah.
But Kendrick. Well, Euphoria
blew up, like, right? Like, so Push Ups got like lots of views and lots of downloads, this and that. But right away, Euphoria was like picking up steam because so many people wanted to hear back of what he had to say. But then we go to one of your favorite TV shows, B. Family Matters.
Family Matters, baby.
B has selected an episode of Family Matters for a future Up Yours. So I know B is a the Bushwhackers?
Oh, yeah. Bushwhackers versus the
Psycho Twins, baby. Come on.
Carl and Steve, yeah.
So Drake drops a video called Family Matters, and he says, did I do that, essentially, in this?
Before that, there was actually a little, like, attached to the Instagram post is a little bit of a freestyle. It's called Buried Alive, or at least on Genius, it's called Buried Alive Interlude Part 2. So
I haven't even heard that.
Yeah.
It takes the beat from one of his older songs, and it's just, you know, a couple verses.
It's a parody. Introducing. He's parodying Buried Alive on Take Care. So Buried Alive is the first track that has Kendrick on a Drake album, and it's like an interlude in between, I think, one of the songs. And here, he sounds like he's like mocking and almost Drake Weird Al Yankovic-ing Kendrick here. It's only on the Instagram post, but the actual YouTube video doesn't have it featured in it. But Drake now going to a next level. He's like, you know what this beef needs? Some visuals, some music videos in this. I like the representation of taking the Good Kid, Mad City van and like getting it squashed and all this. But come on, man, that's not the actual van. You just went to like the dump and found this van. But I guess the visuals. Because the video is pretty funny and he's doing all these different things. I don't understand who quite the one guy he's talking to, like in the woods.
It's speculated at least that that's a Hell's Angels member. People, I guess, who are unaware, the Hell's Angels are at least in Canada. They're probably everywhere, but like at least in Canada, notably, they're like a big motorcycle gang, like the mob, basically, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess.
I mean, there's been rumors in this city for Drake having legit, he has a song called Mob Ties, but like basically the Toronto rumors for a long time is like years and years ago that Drake, you know, sold his soul to a lot of the different gangs to kind of have his back. And there is ties to, as Kendrick will dig up, Baka and then like Preem and like all these guys who are just really just in the business because Drake helped put him on. So there is alleged ties to things like that. So to have some sort of gang member in a music video, I don't necessarily know. But then he's also got like the jewelry, so I was assuming that had something to do with that. I wasn't quite sure. But then he does go to New Ho King, which got a huge pop out of me because it is a great late night establishment, and he's got the fried rice, not so much the blammy, but he's got his croties with him. But this track had some crazy lines in it. He's basically giving these allegations out that Kendrick is, you know, beating on his queen, as he says. He goes back dissing The Weeknd again. He goes back dissing ASAP Rocky again, who was featured on the Metro album, it should be mentioned. So
yeah,
Rocky did fire some shots at Drake as well. So there's a lot of things in here where he also mentions, you know, you got your crisis management team on there because stuff. But what did you think of this one?
Also, I think this is my favorite Drake song out of the
whole bunch. Me too. Okay. I was going to say that hands down.
Because this is the song when I first heard it all the way through, my eyes were wide open. I'm like, oh no.
It got really dirty. This is where the
right. Be the one, Kendrick. Like, I was like, no. But
It's a 7-minute song with visuals. The man didn't stop at any expenses. He has Pharrell's entire collection of chains on, and he puts it on some random guy.
Okay, so reference why that's a big deal. So, like, Pharrell at one point had all these chains. Somehow Drake gets in control of them. So that's almost because of the Pusha like feud, right? So he went and got all these chains. And then here in this video, he's got random man wearing all these.
This is actually like a famous jeweler.
Okay.
I'll look up his name, but there's some significance to him.
Drake probably flew him in.
Pharrell's iconic ice cream chain. So it's like 20 of them. So it's a bunch of them. It's the, if you ever seen a picture of Pharrell with like a bunch of chain on, it's those chains.
Drake's house is basically like a museum of
all he's wearing like Tupac's ring. He has Pharrell's chains. Yeah. He has Cam's pink coat or something like that. So, yeah, like I said, this is my favorite Drake song. He said some crazy things. He said some crazy lines. His flow is crazy in this. The beat switch is crazy. The beats are top tier. This is his this is his best two sets of beats in this entire beef. I can't even pick out the lines for real, but the fact that he used the Family Matters font for the cover and used LA in the backdrop is is crazy. He wrote it out perfect, man. This is what I expect from Drake. And you know what's crazy about this song? I think at the end, when he's talking about going on vacation, he thought, this is it.
Yeah. He thought he was done, right? That
was over.
He thought he was, I'm throwing the deuces up. I'm getting on a jet. I'm taking off, baby. Oh, God.
You guys go ahead
and give your thoughts on this before we move on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I like this one. It's like you said, it's got some crazy beats. I like the first part of the track and then the last one on it when he's in New Hope. But he really goes off here. He does mention like, hey, you brought up my kid first. You mentioned these things first. So therefore, I'm going to reference certain things. And he really wasn't ready for what was going to come after this. But I thought he put up some smoke here, especially going after like ASAP and Weeknd referencing I was with Rihanna, like what the fuck are you talking about kind of thing. But
or ASAP.
Yeah, he goes off what was the line? Oh man. The blacker the berry, the sweeter the
I actually had the lyric right here. So this is the part. So the whole song, I love this entire song. But when it goes to the third verse and that sample kicks in, it's like a violin sample. It's a 1970s song called Conclusions by the girl Deck Whipper Jenny. But like the lines, when he started saying about the children. So he says, our son should go play at the park. Two light-skinned kids. That shit would be cute. Unless you don't want to be seen with anyone that isn't blacker than you. We get it. Mm-hmm. We got it. The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. We get that you like to put gin in your juice. We get that you think that you bishop in juice. When you put your hands on your girl, it's a self-defense because she's bigger than you. And then he starts talking about basically them being engaged since 2015. You guys aren't married yet. So he's obviously bringing up the fact that something's not right between Kendrick and Whitney, who is the fiance of Kendrick. But then this is where like allegations start coming in about maybe one of these kids isn't yours. And he starts bringing up Dave East.
So he's really dirty. Dave Free, not Dave East.
Don't do that.
It's Method Man.
So in a song like years ago, Pop Star, Drake has a line where he goes, I'd be with some bodyguards like Whitney or some shit like that. So people are thinking that he was like sub-dissing Kendrick like all the way back.
And this is for context, this is like Kendrick's like high school sweetheart. He's been with this girl.
He's been with her
life
for quite a long time. And there has been rumors and allegations that maybe like they have some sort of arrangement or agreement because Kendrick blew up and got super famous. And we know what happens when people get rich and super famous. But he is still with his partner, but Drake is poking shots like, you guys aren't married yet and all this stuff. But the line that we get that you think your bishop in juice had me laughing
was,
for sure. That was,
like, was
that,
great.
That was a little one. So
great.
I thought,
I'm not even holding you up.
Yeah. Like he brought it. He brought it in this track for sure. And I thought that he like came hard swinging, but you're right. He thought he was going on vacation after this. And he says some outlandish shit, basically saying like, hey, Kendrick, I know that you have some domestic disputes with your spouse. It's some crazy shit to throw out there. And then he thinks like, yeah, that's it, I'm out. And then 30 minutes later, but before anything from that one way.
Well, so, I mean, this was to me like a direct response to Euphoria. Like I considered this more of a challenge to that versus like 616, for instance. And I think in my mind, comparing it to Euphoria, I wasn't very impressed. I wasn't very impressed musically. I just think Euphoria is a better song in general, with like Kendrick delivering like a far more dynamic flow than even like whatever, like the three Drake. Maybe I'm just not as big of a fan of Drake as I am of Kendrick rapping. But I also don't think like the insults were very scathing. Like they were very outlandish. Yeah. But like, I don't think they held, at least to me, like a lot of definitive like proof that we could tell, you know, as a viewer on the outside. Like Kendrick challenging Drake's authenticity, to me was a much more thoughtful type of like ammunition than Drake coming out and saying, you beat your wife. And what else did he say? What else was his main argument here? Your son is not yours. It's your, manager's. This is where it got like so Jerry Springer to be. But I mean, I guess for a second round, you know, they did kind of warn that things would get a lot dirtier. So I was probably taken aback by that, but I wasn't as impressed with it overall.
Yeah. I'd say it was, I still liked push ups more just because because the beat, you know, I'm like my producer and I was like, yo, this beat's sick. So he's angry on it. But this one, he did have some lines, but it would maybe I would think differently of it if legit 30 minutes later, it wasn't like already kind of topped in the dirtiness.
That's why I think we're going to go back and look at this one. Like, oh, I think we missed one on this one because
he did respond.
I've listened to this one a lot more than any of the songs. Not more than any of the songs, but this is the most I've listened to a Drake song in his beef, and I think this one is the one that he could have ended it with if Kendrick wasn't ready.
Yeah, was this the red button that he keeps alluding to?
Yeah, so this is the red button because this is the one that 50 Cent and Gilly and all these people were posting about before he dropped it.
So the red button is assuming like Drake saying, hey,
had a super long song. This song was like 7 minutes long,
but he like saying like, hey, you have, maybe you beat your wife or maybe your kid isn't yours. Like that was his red button, which to everyone is like, oh shit, that's bad. But then right away, Kendrick is like, yeah, well, here's X, Y, Z, and like names off all these crazier things that's people are like,
So.
He did respond to Rick Ross a little bit. He did say, like, Ross called me the white boy, and that shit kind of got a ring to it because all these rappers waving white flags while the whole fucking club singing to it.
And that's low-key a secret bar because you go to any fucking club, Drake music all the fucking time, and people lose their minds. They don't play Kendrick Lamar in the club. I'm sorry. I love Kendrick, but, like, that's just not something that happens. Not until a song that we'll get to. Now they're gonna play him in the club like all the time this summer. Yeah, song of the summer coming up. But
the one bar, intend to make the one club bar songs. When Rick Ross reading my Miranda rights, that got me, because that's gonna be him being a correctional officer is gonna haunt Rick Ross for the rest of his career.
Yeah, no matter what, Rick Ross is known that he was an op, he was a fed. So no matter what he says about his jet skis and shit, like he's one of them. But I you know, it was a good track from Drake. It was the red button, but like we said. What changed the world of hip hop in what day was this? May 3rd? This was one of the craziest days.
As Way is explaining to John at the end of Rewind to SmackDown about like the latest diss song with Family Matters, like literally as they're signing off, my last word was Kendrick responded. Because right then and there, like after midnight, was Meet the Grams on May the 4th.
You could for years now, any of us could be like, yo, Drake just dropped. Yo, Kendrick just dropped. Because I'll believe it now. Like it just kept happening. But this was nuts. Like, I was legit at work.
May the 4th.
I was at work, and I snuck out to go, like, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to make a coffee upstairs to go listen to Family Matters. I listen to I spend 7 minutes. I go back to work, and as I'm working, I see you message me, yo, Kendrick dropped. I'm like, God damn, I don't have time for this. So I had to, like, wait till a little later and be like,
it's exciting. That's what I was talking about before. Like, it's bringing the spark back of my love of hip hop because it's actually exciting. It's done in unconventional ways, but I'm actually having a lot of fun with this.
It was hype.
I was so happy I was off work that night. I couldn't be more happy with that. But my thing is, guys, when I turned that song on because I had just listened to the Drake song all the way through for the second time.
Yeah.
And then I was watching Academic stream on Twitch, and they're like, someone was commenting like, hey, Kendrick dropped. I'm like, what?
Another Kendrick has dropped.
I wasn't even done listening to Family Matters when Kendrick dropped. I was in the third verse, and I'm like, do I stop this? Like, what's going on here?
I was on my like second listen because I got it soon as it dropped. But fellas, when I say I turned this song on,
oh man,
and
The beat was produced by Alchemist.
Alchemist. That beat is so haunting. I love this.
The beat is so scary. Okay. Right? I got chills.
Meet the Gram. Let's Meet the Gram.
As soon as when you first hear that piano hitting on Meet the Grams, the chills hit my, I'm like, what are we about to listen to here?
Yeah, okay. Like, Alchemist, one of the goats of producing. I'm so mad. When we were in Philly a few weeks ago for Mania, he was doing autographs at Suplex, but the line was so long that, like, when you told me Alchemist was there, my eyes like were like, what? I don't even know what I'd get him to sign. I just want to meet him and tell him he's lit and ask for advice. I don't know. But the line was crazy. But this is nuts. I didn't realize it was Alchemist until after the fact. I'm like, apparently he had sent this beat to him a long time ago. It wasn't just like, yo, here's this beat to like kill Drake on. It was something that Kendrick just had. Like, and he was like, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm going to pull this one out and use this. So this is one of the craziest diss tracks here.
People are calling that beat his supervillain song.
Yeah, it really is. Like, when you first thought, like, hey, Kendrick, you're going to beef with Drake, like, all of Drake's beats are like heavy, harder trap trot tracks. Like, what Kendrick going to do? Like, rap over some like watery jazz or some shit? Yeah, like, what's he going to do?
This beat was straight out of 1995. So, Alchemist is like a pupil of Havoc from Mobb Deep. So, this sounded just like 95 Mobb Deep, Wu Tang, the gritty, grimy New York style type of beat, which, like, I think Kendrick, that's one thing that stands out for Kendrick is he's a West Coast rapper, but he could fit on any East Coast track or East Coast style. And that's what I love about his flow. But as soon as this song hit, I was like, this is it right here.
Way, when you first heard Dear Adonis, right away, my eyes were like, uh-oh, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was like, I think the type of surgical, like artistic, you know, type of response I would expect from him. And immediately you knew this was going to be taken to a different level. But I wasn't prepared for some of the content.
This was dark. This was like a heel, a baby face in the feud who's like keeps getting beat up. Maybe the heel in the group started using foreign objects. So this is now where your baby face is like, maybe I need to use some thumbtacks.
I got one better for you.
Yeah.
This is like when you're watching a movie and like a Disney movie, right? And Scar's trying to tell you why Mufasa is bad. And he's kind of got a point.
Yeah.
This is what that is.
Well, because like, Kendrick is the baby.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Baby face. Like Kendrick is the baby face, but here he had to use the low blow, but it was justified.
This is like when Edge, Adam Copeland, you know, gets back into his brood, you know, he puts the mask on, he gets that's what it is. It's like, him getting into his ministry days.
I'm sorry. It's Hangman when he is in a Texas death match, you know,
when he's like, drinking blood.
I have to do this because I have, like, I'm sorry, but I have to. And like, man, like, I almost said Pusha, but Kendrick, like, just he starts off by saying, Dear Adonis, I'm sorry that your man's your father. Like, oh my God, he says, listen to this when you're 18. Like, I feel so bad for this kid. He's known so far in life for being the two
being
like,
hidden.
The hidden thing with Pusha and now this. But he goes in just scathing, talking to this kid about all these things. And then he goes in talking about Dear Sandra. He doesn't even say Mrs. Graham. That's just the disrespect right there.
So there's four verses in this song. The first one is Adonis. The second one is Drake's mother. The third one is this daughter, this imaginary daughter, supposedly. Yeah. And the fourth verse is towards Drake himself. But
he mixed like his mother and father together.
Yeah.
That was kind of both.
Oh, man. Some crazy shit. So there is a lot to unpack. So I say this one was just the real mean, dirty rap beef track.
And it's when he escalates to I think he should die.
Yeah.
I equate him to Harvey Weinstein. This is when he gets into the, sex trafficking allegations. This is when he gets, well, the daughter reveal, I think, you know, might have caught more headlines, but the more serious allegation is just Kendrick here essentially kind of like not just, pointing towards Drake, but also to like the industry at large for this type of behavior that, took this to like a very different route, you know, in a very serious route.
So like, okay, so we think that there was some sort of mole that fed Kendrick some information and then he took the daughter thing. Like, clearly that's coming out that's not true. There is no truth to Drake having and hiding some 11-year-old girl, unless it's that Toronto girl who is in all the memes, who does say Crotty a lot.
They got the Miami bottle girl that was at a Live nightclub from like 2015 who says like, yeah, her daughter is Drake's father.
So
I'm what I'm
this
saying.
Hasn't come out, but you know,
like, it's the father and daughter. I'm sorry.
It could come out, but like the thing is, like, Kendrick spent like 6 minutes saying all these ruthless things, talking to his parents, his son, this imaginary daughter. And Drake's just reply on social media was like, I don't have a daughter. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he was just waiting for it, right? He was waiting for the song to drop just so he can like put out that post that, oh, what's he talking about this imaginary daughter?
Yeah, he's crazy.
He was ready for it.
Not to mention that also the album cover for this Meet the Grams was a zoomed out picture of the first picture of 616, which like was a some kind of weird FUBU shirt or something like that. The Maybach glove, two prescriptions, two receipts, and a Ozempic prescription.
Yeah.
We don't know what the internet's saying that the other two pill bottles were some kind of like sleep aid, which is also used to like Bill Cosby people. So, yeah, the internet has really dug into
it. But now people are saying that because Kendrick has now pulled this photo from this song. So people are saying.
But so, yeah, officially, like it's off of Spotify and maybe even like all the streaming services. But
it could have been because of the prescriptions on it.
Exactly. Like I think it's at least in the guidelines that like personal belongings can't be in photos.
Yep.
Right. So it could be just as well as that, too. But what is this? So maybe we could fast forward ahead where we could say like Drake has since claimed that all of this was part of a leak that his own team set up. Do you guys believe that?
I'm not sure. Like the daughter thing is like maybe someone gave him this tip and he just went with it. Maybe he told someone to like, hey, say make it's possible. It's possible to try to embarrass him. Maybe it's a trying to play like a few steps ahead. Like maybe I know. Like, look, anyone who is following Drake and any of this beef, right away, conversations, you know, people had and friends with each other were like, man, if this is way before this even kicked off, if Drake has a rap beef with Kendrick, all Kendrick needs to do is say he's a pedophile. Everyone was bringing, all he needs to do is rhyme something with Millie Bobby Brown, and that would be it. So I'm not trying to reach here or whatever, but maybe Drake's plan was like, if I convince him to say all these lies and then prove that he's lying, maybe people will assume he's lying about everything else he's saying, including some of these wild allegations, because he knew these were going to come out. So like, maybe that's his way of trying to play. I don't think that necessarily worked out for him. We need receipts. We need receipts.
Well, has he actually proven that these are lies? I mean, the daughter, I suppose, maybe like, well, we can believe that, you know, he doesn't actually have an 11-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't understand the strategy of like, I'm going to create all of these terrible headlines for myself. Yeah. You know, like people pick it up on the pill bottles and like the Ozempic prescription and all that, just as a way to say, got you. This didn't really happen. Like that makes no sense to me.
Makes no sense at all.
And he's also calling him the master manipulator when it's like, well, then wait, wouldn't you be the manipulator if you're trying to do this?
Any evidence?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's also been brought up how, why hasn't Drake shown proof that this was stuff that was leaked to Kendrick?
Right.
If this is actually true.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Like,
where's the text messages? Where's the phone logs? Exactly.
In the new song, he kind of contradicts himself too, because he says, like, in like a couple bars before, he says, those guys who fed you that info are
clowns,
right?
Yeah.
And then, like, four bars later, he says, we plotted on you with that for a week, and then we gave it to you. It's like, which one was it, Drake?
Yeah. Maybe he's trying to create his own narrative. I mean, I thought this track was easily the, like, nail in the coffin for this feud. I thought this was like, I was like, okay, like this was the one I listened to a few times later that night, like on repeat, like, damn, he really was mad at this guy. He says he hates him. He wishes he was dead. He says some crazy deep shit on this scary sounding beat that's from Alchemist. Like, this is some real shit. I loved it so much.
Brings up his drug problems. Brings up
drug problems, money,
bad
problems.
Gambling. Yeah,
fuck a bat battle. This is a long life battle with yourself. Like he says some crazy shit that I was like,
he makes his voice go when he goes, "You lie," and it's echoing. It's so like taunting and like it's
So selfish. Yeah, selfishly, I was like, damn, all we needed was someone to get you mad to make good music again, Kendrick. I was like, damn, I wish people pissed you off more. It's like well, his last album just really didn't do anything for me, and he hasn't really dropped new music since that. So in a weird way, selfishly, I'm happy that this was happening, because right away both of them are making new songs, and I'm sure people will listen and dissect these for years and years to come. But right at that point, I was like, okay, this is over. He's dropped this track. It's done. But then it just kept going. There's still more.
That song was so dark and evil that he had to release like a song you could dance to with Not Like Us in the same day. We're still on May the 4th here, by the way. And he dropped Not Like Us. And can somebody explain this cover art? Because it's what? Park Lane Circle. And it's a mansion with a whole bunch of just people tagged.
Yeah.
Dropped into the picture.
Shout out the Bridal Path in uptown Toronto, I guess North York or York, Toronto. And Bridal Path is a neighborhood that's full of these mansions. Prince used to live there. All famous people live there. High-end tech people, celebrities. People rent them out for big parties. Other rappers, DJs. Like, this whole area is really like a little pocket of just like mansions uptown. And I will say, if you ever drive by Drake's place, we got to go up next time you're here, B, for sure. I mentioned it to you. Yeah. His place is a palace. Like, this thing is very, he got the government to change rules on how high you can have like certain trees walls, and things, right? Because once a day, statistically, people were trying to break into his house or his property. And he always, at all times, 24 hours a day, has two Hummer security guards out front of his place. And who knows what else, but his place is like a palace. This thing is insane. And I mean, he has a music video where he basically shows off his new house with the indoor swimming pools and all this crazy nonsense shit. But this,
just even that, Brayden, is, I think, such a glimpse about like just the philosophical differences between these two rappers. You know, this is Drake, who fully embodies almost a caricature of what you expect a rich, famous rapper to be. And he wants everybody to know it. Like, he could have spent this money and he could have like got a place, I don't know, like in Ajax or like a really nice sort of like house, wherever, like, you know, farther away from the city where like he could enjoy himself. But like, this is like, he's here to be seen. He wants people to, you know, be around his place all the time. He wants people to know that he's got security and just, you know, that he lives in a big, big place.
So they've got the screenshot of the Bridal Path here, and Park Lane, I guess, is the actual street that he lives on. But then Kendrick has put the little like dots of all the little people in there. And I'm assuming this is what it looks like when you look up the sex offender registry list.
Yeah. So those are the, you get regular dots in the, I think the color coding depends on what the crime is.
Right. So red, meaning some what?
I think it's sex offender something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, they live there too. That's the only way you get that. But those aren't there. So, you know.
Yeah.
You're a place
so there. Then he drops this song called Not Like Us, which right away, I didn't need to hear the tag to know who made this beat, but Mustard on the beat, ho. Returns out of his crypt where he's been waiting, plotting for one more hit to come out. Low key, Mustard is one of he makes some of his like top beats in like easily 5 minutes, but I will never discredit him because it doesn't matter if you made it in 5 minutes. All that matters if it sounds good. So Mustard has had some crazy slappers, in my opinion, and I was so happy that we finally got Kendrick on a beat that can be played in the clubs, because I wave my flag here because this is the song of the summer. I'm sorry, Drake, but you're going to have to hear this in the clubs this whole summer, because this is my favorite one on the whole beat.
This is my favorite one on the
this track. DJ Mustard and Kendrick Lamar, Not Like Us, got me, a white Canadian, earlier this morning trying to crip walk while smoking a blunt, being like, wow, they got me in Toronto. I'm listening to this like, wow.
This is a song that converted my wife to the Kendrick side.
She was team Drake until this one.
Oh yeah. Me yeah too. Well, at least like she was at least skeptical. Yeah. Like she was like somewhat removed, to be honest, but I kind of caught her up. And but like, you listen to this and it's got mass appeal, and that in itself is genius. You know, when you're talking about the message of what this song is actually about,
he beats Drake in his own game because it's a dancey, clubby track. But in
for
in
some of the darkest,
yeah. What are we dancing to? Yeah, what are we dancing to?
We're dancing while he's saying lines like "certified lover boy," "certified pedophiles."
What are we dancing to?
Probably A minor. Like, he's literally making pedophile references here.
It's so dancing.
The show, and I told you the first thing I heard, I turned on the radio. First thing I heard on the Breakfast Club, because it's syndicated in Detroit, was Not Like Us. Wow. And they even played it radio edited and still kept the A minor line.
What's the radio edit? Instrumental?
Well, they cut out like the N word and they cut out the F's and stuff, but they kept A minor
and they kept pedophile. People listening to the draft work.
I wonder what FCC rules state about, like, you know, pedophilia mentions. Like, probably nothing, right?
God. You know? I mean, okay, where do you even begin? Because he just dropped Meet the Grams, which is like serious, dark, and everything. This is really dark, but it's on a way more like playful beat, like I said. And then he's got some crazy lines, some crazy allegations. He literally just straight up says you're a pedophile.
On all a the Sunday afternoon, he does.
Yeah, on the Lord's Day, Sunday service, he drops this track and says some crazy stuff. I mean, the certified pedophile line is crazy. The parts where right after saying that, he like pretty much goes, wah, 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 just starts. That's where I'd do the dip.
Yeah, oh, my God.
He pretty much said the next time that Drake will go to Oakland, it'll be his last stop for disrespecting Tupac by using the AI.
You think they're going to let you disrespect Tupac? I bet that that Oakland show going to be your last stop or something like that. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that I didn't even think about that. It's like, dude, you might want to recall that because the West stays together. They don't care what's going on.
And then another line to dissect here is something that Drake seemingly got off the hook for, but Kendrick brings it back. On the other song, he mentions Adonis, don't let anyone ever pee on your leg, which was what, one of T.I.'s boys peeing on his leg or something like that. But here on this song, he mentions that you fucked on Wayne's girl while he was in jail and then got his face tatted on you like a bitch apologizing. So this is true. Lil Wayne has come out. It's an interview where Drake, while Wayne was in jail, free Weezy, that he hooked up with his girl, and then Wayne was like, yeah, whatever, I don't even care that really, and just seemed that was that. But here's Kendrick bringing that up here and basically saying, like, look at you, yeah, how disrespectful are you? And I thought this was a pretty crazy line to bring that back up because
he did get the tattoo right after.
Yeah, like, no matter what Wayne says, bro, you still did that shit, Drake. Like, again, looking at the history of, like, if you search why is Drake, why is Future beefing with Drake? Like, everything leads back to Drake just like trying to, you know, holler at someone's girl or something like that. So it's definitely a reoccurring theme in this thing. But the Wayne line is crazy.
He doubled down in like the third. Well, yeah, it's like the third verse. He doubled down on like questioning Drake's like ethnicity. He's just like, yeah, hey, dude, you're colonizing the rap game. You're colonizing Atlanta. And he's telling everybody how he sees it. And that's kind of how a lot of people see Drake when he collabs with these artists.
Yeah.
And
it's true, though. Everyone says this, that he's...
And Drake hasn't really responded to any of these, like, colonization.
He hasn't taken any of the race bait. He hasn't taken any of it. Yeah. He's smart to do that. I give him...
Well, he said something I didn't agree with Drake bringing up was the slave line in the song prior. And because then Kendrick uses that, flips that back at him. Like, yeah, you're the one who even brings that up. So, like, look at you.
Which means this was done, like, either Kendrick got the leak or this was done like in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
This one, I feel like, was
every song. Yeah. I think every song he mentions things Drake said.
I feel like Family Matters was leaked to him, and therefore he had Meet the Grams loaded and ready because 30 minutes drop. Like, it takes 30 minutes.
Kendrick has a notepad, like, as he's listening to the Drake song. I feel like he's writing just like notes and just he's getting it ready. This is also the song. This is the song that started getting headlines on wrestling websites when I started seeing Shawn Michaels all of a sudden is being brought into this Kendrick Drake beef with the line, sweet shit music, and I won't pass the aux. So Shawn Michaels with the name drop.
So the American beating the Canadian is what we're getting at here. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I get that. I understand, fam. We Toronto's taking a lot of strays.
Upset that Drake didn't have a sharpshooter line in his next track. Unfortunately,
he could have. Yeah, I mean, never say never.
The Rascal song.
I mean, he thinks he's Razor Ramon. He doesn't even think he's Brett, though.
This is true. Yeah. So like something that is always brought up in at least people and fans and stuff like that is Drake is the culture vulture. Like, he does latch himself onto someone, take their steez, and then go forward and kind of leave them behind. And that's what a lot of people claim he does. And Kendrick brings that to him by saying, like, 21, Young Thug, Quavo, 2 Chainz. Even the 2 Chainz, he lied, because the song that 2 Chainz has with Drake is No Lie.
No Lie.
There's some crazy things, man. Like, each line you can dissect in this thing, but holy crap. Like, this is one of the best diss tracks ever. Like, this to me is hit 'em up levels from KDOT, honestly. And I'm from Toronto. I got an OVO sweater in the closet somewhere. I'm not wearing it today. I won't be busting that out.
You're not going to wear your other vaginal option sweater?
I thought that line was soft, but then to end the song with "Say Oviho," which I was like, all right, that one works because
yeah.
You go outside in Toronto, you'll run into like 16 different people wearing OVO.
He did that specifically so like the clubs in Toronto will be chanting OVO. Like that's pretty much
everyone. I don't follow Rick Ross on Instagram or anything, but I went on his stories instantly when it dropped, and he was doing a day party in Vegas. All right. Soon as the song dropped, he dropped it in the DJ. They were playing it. Everybody was going crazy. Like they kept dropping it over and over again because Rick Ross is running the day party. So everybody heard this song.
Well, they won't turn up to his own music. So they
why not? Why would they? I'm sure he did every damn hustle in there somewhere. But
yeah. So yeah, this track, like this was it. This was, I was like, it's GG.
Like at this point, I mean, I feel like Drake. I feel like Kendrick, to a lot of people, already won with Meet the Grams and like the rollout of Meet the Grams. This was almost like just kind of like beating on a dead body. But the fact that it was of this high quality and using the same, like, I would say strategy that I think everybody expected out of Drake, you know, creating a club hit, even though like Drake might not be the lyricist of Kendrick, I think a lot of people might have been looking to Drake to win like the war of like public sort of like support because of like creating a very catchy chantable song. And Kendrick did that before him. I think it's doing like significant damage to his brand, you know, like just, you know, every time, at least for the next little while, you see an OVO logo or like hear a mention of OVO, you're going to think OVO. Anytime he mentioned Six God, somebody might be thinking 69 God, not to mention all the other scathing, you know, like material that's in here.
So yeah. Fuck That Owl has a whole different meaning in Toronto. Now.
I'll tell you, it's like I went out for a 10-minute walk to get a coffee earlier today, and like you see, there's Blue Jay OVO, Raptors OVO. Like, trust me, he's got his footprint on this city. Like, he is like the guy. But there's a building with the logos on it and stuff. Like, there are people in the city who don't like him too, but that's everywhere because some people do think he's a fake, he's a fraud, and he's an actor and this and that. But I always support because he puts out some good. I agree with Kendrick.
He's done so much for Toronto. Well, like Toronto wouldn't even have a seat at the table without.
Yeah, Drake. Yeah, and that's fair. The Raptors. No, but like that's fair. Like Toronto, who do we have before Drake? Like Drake was around, but he wasn't at the level. We had Rob Ford. You know, like that's who put us on the map at first, and people went and then Drake was like, "Hold on, let me sit on the CN Tower and I'll put out," like he definitely, like he does do a lot for the city. He does build it up. But as much as he does, Kendrick shows in these raps, like he's done also a lot of bad things. The Weeknd is one of my favorite artists. And he tried to turn The Weeknd into like his bitch, essentially. And imagine if he were to have stayed. I've been loving a lot of the memes as well, because like Drake has ruined a lot of other careers. I was talking with you guys before about the Cha-Cha Slide, right?
Yeah.
Drum, right? Drum, like Cha-Cha, put that song out before Hotline Bling, and then Drake basically got that guy like shut out and then puts out his own song. Like he steals people's shit like all the time, but at the end of the day, you know, Control is a bad tune still. So I don't know, like it's tough. But this
can you not say the same about so many like art, like pop artists prior to him though? Like I don't know, like when we're talking about people changing up, like can we talk about Madonna in the same style?
Yeah, but not in rap though. You know, like rap.
He's just smart. He's staying relevant. Like he just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's crazy. Because like when he first dropped in Toronto with the mixtapes, like he was Toronto famous. Like you guys might not even know who Cardinal Official is. Some people might not know who that is, right? Yeah. When Drake dropped the AI Tupac, a lot of people were posting memes like, "Oh man, Kendrick's got to use AI Cardi to get him back."
And nobody would be pissed off.
So weird, but
you can't even find that app.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one would have recognized.
But I swear he maybe have used there's the Cardinal Official, like Drake has used it before, like the drop sound he used in songs. I swear Kendrick somewhat featured in one of these tracks. I could be tripping, but I think Kendrick won with Meet the Grams, but then doubled back with what is it? Not Like Us. I think that's the nail in the coffin there.
Yeah, that's historic spin the block in rap history.
It's the one that I've listened to the most, just because, like, wow.
It got people dancing to an announcement that this guy is a pedophile.
It's crazy. It's insane. Yeah. But wow. And then, okay. So that song's dropped and everybody's like, holy shit, this is done. And then again, we are hit with Sir Drake has dropped. Yet again. So this is what the final song as we're recording. Hopefully no one.
There was a couple side missions where, like, Metro Boomin put out what the BBL Drizzy BT, like, challenged everybody to do like a freestyle over that. So that was pretty funny.
It and it's great.
He went and played drums, right?
Okay, so Metro went off and basically said, like, I'm not going to explain why we're beefing because it would make us both look bad. And I have some questions about that.
Me too.
We were talking earlier, like, oh, maybe it's about beats and stuff like that. No, I don't think it is. I don't know.
I think it's something else.
And
he did say that in an Instagram post, but also in that Instagram post, he posted the Drake blackface picture. So it's like, what do you want us to, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, you got to let us know something. You can't, like, have us trying to hate Drake and then you're not telling us what's really going on.
A lot of old pictures and clips of are resurfacing of Drake, right? There's like the one where he's on stage and he brings up the 17-year-old and he asks her age and then he, like, gives her a kiss. There's like
the home, like, I don't know if this was a home video or like just an old school project of like him.
Yeah, this is his acting, like, Degrassi.
Yeah, him and the guy, like, on a roof and he squeezes his ass or something. Like, I'm just seeing all these random, like, they're obviously old clips. Him, but he's an actor, right? He did a lot of acting stuff, so it's gonna
that
come up
stuff. I'm not too, like, I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah,
other things though, like the Millie Bobby Brown thing, and like all that stuff is gonna. I knew all that stuff was gonna haunt him. I just knew the right rap beef was gonna.
So he's doing the strategy of he's bringing up some things before Kendrick even has a chance to. Like, I think Drake brought up the Millie Bobby Brown line first in any of these songs. So he's
in the Tupac. Said her name.
Okay, so what's this last Drake track that just came out? I've only managed to listen to it twice.
The Heart Part 6, which is a play on Kendrick's The Heart Part 4 song.
Okay. It's a whole series of Heart that he's,
he's got a bunch of them. But
his equivalent of like 616 in LA.
Right. Yeah. It uses the album cover art is Mike Free. Day Free.
Poor guy. Can't get his name right. This whole
shit. That's Mike Free is Prince's guy. But Day Free. Harding the picture, the same thing that he's rapped about in the in Family Matters.
No,
he screenshotted that and used that as the album cover art.
So to explain to John Pollock, who's listening right now, Dave Free is the manager of Kendrick, right?
Yeah, he was the manager of Future as well, I think.
Future, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Someone else related to Kendrick. He was the
former president of Top Dog. The former president.
He's the one that Drake is saying is the father of one of Kendrick's children.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He also runs PG Lang with Kendrick.
Yep.
Okay. So, like, I don't remember what song it was. I think it was the last one where it's like, Kendrick is rapping. Better give him a Grammy is definitely one of my favorite funny lines from Drake. But he starts this song by saying, oh, the Pulitzer Prize winner is definitely spiraling. So he's definitely deflecting, I'd say, in this rap song where he's basically saying, like, all these things. He brings up Millie Bobby Brown. He mentions it by name, her by name. He mentions Weinstein.
He brings up in relation to Whitney, which I hate that I even have to, like, give any credit to something that is so dark and so awful.
Yeah.
But I thought the wordplay was, like, pretty clever just with the sort of, I guess, convenience of, like, Millie Bobby Brown and Whitney, you know?
Yeah, that was pretty clever. But this song, after listening to it a bunch of times, even before we start doing the show, I don't think it's hard enough, Drake. I don't think it's tough enough. I don't think you said anything other than you've been saying in the last two songs. I don't think you really chipped him enough. I think it's kind of a white flag.
I think it's
very deflecting.
I mean, the first
some weird lines, some super weird lines.
Yeah, some sus shit for sure. But I it gets really dark and gets really twisted and obviously a bit more uncomfortable to kind of dissect. But he brings up, like, the song "I," right? Mother, I sober. Yeah. And then says where, you know, you were molested on there. And then I just made the whole connection. And it's like, man, okay, you really took this next level.
Have anyone listened to Mother, I Sober?
Yeah. No, but I did see something about, like, Drake possibly getting, like, the...
He got it completely wrong. The song is about his mother explaining how she was molested. And she kept asking Kendrick to assure he hasn't been molested. And that kind of traumatized him within itself.
Right.
And I got that just from listening to the album. I haven't.
Yeah. It's all about, like, I guess, generational trauma as a result of, like, one person getting sexually abused.
Drake said so many things on here that got me, like, so mad. Like, so for him to say, okay, the reason why you're accusing me of being a pedo is because
you yourself
were molested. That's not the right turn. And the one he says where it's like, I'm too famous to be a pedophile. Like, have you seen some of the people that are accused of being pedophiles?
Yeah.
It's like he came out this total, like, I understand what he was trying to do, but he was saying the wrong things.
Yeah.
I was surprised that no one likes it. So I was surprised that Drake even responded and responded so directly to those allegations. Cause I mean, I think it's one of those things where there's nothing you could say. Maybe there's some explanation out there, but like, there's really nothing you could say. And if you're going to say it, you would expect to maybe come across better than a lot of, I think, what was said here. This sounded to me like a Drake that was like running off of no sleep for the past like 3 days. And he felt the pressure to need to respond for whatever reason, just to kind of give something, just to say, to deny the allegations, first of all.
Yeah.
And to maybe retain whatever fan base he might have left. Maybe in his delusional mind, feels like this is enough to actually win, but I can't even think this does not sound like the voice of a confident rapper who thinks they're winning.
Yeah, I felt like this was I have to put out something, and I don't think it was the toughest strike. And in fact, a lot of people are seeming like, okay, this is proving that it's over. Like, Kendrick has hit him twice and this is his rebuttal. So it's like, there was some stuff in it that definitely got a smirk or a laugh out of me. Not some of the stuff we already mentioned was pretty dark and depressing. It didn't get a laugh out of me there, but mentioning A minor, but you got to be sharp and tell who like
clever, right?
Yeah, like some clever, it's okay. Some clever things there.
Not as clever as like the original.
No. Talking about Rick Ross and his one flight from Malaysia, because just like last week, Rick Ross was trying to diss Drake, and then his plane had to like land somewhere or something. So that was pretty funny. Mentioning that's the
from Ross flight had to land because he had like some medical emergency on the flight that went.
Yeah. Something that was brought up, you're still bumping R. Kelly, you could thank the savior, because there was that thing when Spotify wanted to take R. Kelly's music down. I think Kendrick was one of them that was like, why?
He's like, if you take his music down, you have to take my music down as well.
Yeah. So I thought that bringing that up is something, cause that I do remember that. So I thought that was kind of clever to try to, again, he's deflecting in this last song. I'd say this was one of the weaker songs in the whole beef, but it sounds like he's deflecting, trying to save face, and kind of sounds like it's over anyways. A bit of a white flag, like, leave me alone. This is
it done, seems so. Like the entire like media thinks it's over, because I'm just looking today and like Rolling Stone is already saying that Kendrick Lamar won the battle. You have Cameron and Mace of a pretty popular podcast saying that Kendrick has won. Just looking at some of the numbers here, so Kendrick has the two biggest streaming days of any rap songs in 2024, Euphoria at 9.2 million and Not Like Us at 7.8 million. And then Not Like Us, Euphoria, Like That, and Meet the Grams are all in the top 10 in both US, Spotify, and Apple Music. So it's working. Whatever they're doing is getting
traction. It helped Kendrick, right? Like, Kendrick, he hadn't had these kinds of numbers in a long time. And all of a sudden now he's got like all these songs out and they're doing.
And there might be more.
Yeah, and there might be more. But
so when Drake put out the song, he's like, oh, 6 minutes later, I'm sure Kendrick will drop it. He did not drop it 6 minutes later. So we're still
I still think Drake's going to hit back first again, though. Because I stayed up all night. I work midnights. I was up all night and I was on Twitter X, and the number one trend for like 4 hours was Nah Drake. No one really liked this song.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking he's on. I'm sorry. Wait.
I'm sorry,
but
dude.
He's always Drake is a, like I said, he's a social media guy. He knows what's up. So I think he knows he has to hit back with something harder because this just didn't hit right.
I was going to say, like, on Instagram, there are a bunch of rappers now that seem to be, you know, associated with Kendrick, at least in this feud, that have blacked out their Instagram photos. So I don't know if there's anything deeper beyond just like them showing solidarity against Drake, but, you know, that's another sort of.
I haven't looked into angle. That. I'll check that out.
Also, Kendrick has officially removed all copyrights from content creators for their reaction videos. So it allows them to make money from their content. So that's something pretty cool that Kendrick has done.
Another thing, though. He didn't put the ads on his YouTube videos. Drake did.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. He didn't. Kendrick has no ads on any of his songs. And I was looking like, whoa. Did someone notice that too? I was like, I got to pay to see Drake.
that Kendrick is right there. I was like, yeah, it's kind of how it goes.
And all while J. Cole is just loving life. You're on a beach somewhere.
Zen master himself.
He's doing yoga.
So I'm very curious to hear from the both of you, like, what the repercussions are. I think for Kendrick, like, this seems to be a completely renewed, like, energy from him. I am also going to say this is probably the last time we'll ever see Kendrick in a beef, because I don't think anybody's going to want to challenge Kendrick after this.
No one's strong as Drake to even go against Kendrick mm-hmm. at this point, for real. Like, no one would get Kendrick to go write a verse.
Yeah. So, what do you expect for his career going forward? But more importantly, what do you guys expect from Drake and his popularity? Let's say a year from now.
I don't necessarily think it'll hurt Drake as much. Like, I think that last track, again, we're recording this on Monday in the afternoon, May 6th. Who knows? There could be more songs dropped. There could be this and that. Other people trying to step in. Who knows what? Trying to, you know, get popular off this. But as far as we know, this thing is over right now. And I feel like, you know, maybe people could be like, oh, well, Kendrick said you're a pedophile and this and that and stuff like that. Him saying like, hey, I'm not, is basically being like, hey, to the people who are my fans, like, come on, you know better than that. Don't follow these lies kind of thing. So I don't necessarily think it'll hurt his stock. He's got some of the craziest, biggest, you know, sought after tickets and tours. And every time he does drop music, it goes crazy. He's got OVO stores all over the place. And he sells, like, a line in pushups is your tour money is our merch money fee, essentially. Like, if you do look at, like, the numbers, he does crazy shit everywhere he goes, and he's been on top for a long time. So I don't necessarily think it'll be like ruining his career or anything like that, but he has been at the top. He has been, let's just for example say, he's the Michael Jackson of rap in the last few years. He's, because he's been so huge and so big, maybe finally someone can like knock him off. But I still don't know. I mean, this has helped Kendrick more than it's helped Drake, because the numbers literally have proved it, the numbers on the board. But I don't necessarily think it's going to like deflect people from listening to Drake, because even you go on social media and this and that, like, people are defending Drake and defending Kendrick. You got your sides, right? And you always will. But I was going into this, like, I like both of these guys. I've mentioned I've loved all their music, and I've watched them both live and perform. And I was a good entertainment for us to see, but it got real ugly and real dark that it was like, oh, like, but we kind of saw that was going to go that route anyways. But I don't think it's going to affect me from listening to Drake music. However, that song Teenage Fever does have different meanings and stuff. Kind of a few of his lines, really. So people will kind of dissect and maybe compare him to Michael Jackson a bit more than he hoped for. But I don't know. What do you think?
It's not going to ruin his career, but I think it's definitely going to take a shot at his credibility. I've spoken to people who, like, weren't even aware of some of the allegations that were against Drake, or some of the rumors, even some of the past, you know, diss tracks that he's had against him. But not until this song, they're finally like paying attention. I've gone to people that I know for a fact are Drake fans and would, you know, love Drake. And I've asked them straight up, have you listened to it? And who do you side with? And who do you think is right? And mostly they're saying Kendrick. I feel like a lot of people are siding with Kendrick because of a lot of things that he brought out to light with all these allegations towards Drake. So that is going to hurt his credibility. Is he going to fail and no, drop off the face of the earth? Absolutely not. But I think Kendrick is the one that's going to get the most out of this. He's going to become even a bigger star than he already was. And his next album, which whenever it drops, is going to do crazy numbers, I feel like, just straight off of this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, like Kendrick said in Euphoria, I don't like being famous. You know, so I don't think that he's going to even like having these many eyes on him at this one time. So he'd probably like fade away for a little bit. J. Cole's The Fall Off album was supposed to come out soon. Like, that's what this was all a rollout to. The whole Drake and J. Cole thing was supposed to roll out The Fall Off. And then all this happened. So, like, I think Cole's going to have his moment after all the smoke settles, and then Kendrick can drop an album, or Drake's going to keep dropping. Drake's not going to let a summer pass. Even if he loses this, everybody agrees, he's not going to let this summer pass. He doesn't let a summer pass.
Yeah.
So, Cole is next, realistically, to me.
So, hip-hop is just like wrestling, right? So, are they going to team up? Are they going to like do a song together at this point? I mean, Jay-Z and Nas did, right? Do you think there's any chance? Or even like a J. Cole possibly doing a
sound interview? Nardwire, get in there.
This is Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas. This is never going to end. This is never, ever going to end. There will be old.
The Iron Cheek Hulk Hogan beef.
That's exactly what it is.
This is going to go on for years. He says he hates him. He wishes he was dead.
He hates him. I mean, this man's mother on the song. It's not going to end.
It would be wild if they ever made a song or an album together. But like Jay-Z and Nas, you know, they got together for the interview and then some music.
They never call each other pedophiles or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
your wife. You know?
Tybo Ho.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, where do you see, like, you asked us, like, how will this affect Drake? Does the same thing apply for Kendrick? Like, will he have to prove that, like, no, I didn't do all these things Drake said. I didn't, you know.
I'm curious to hear if he responds, if in any other track. It might be one of those scenarios where, like, the best response is no response to it because you see no validity to it. I just wonder, like, if there's any even audience demand for, like, wanting more receipts for all of these claims from everybody. Part of me thinks no. Part of me thinks, like, the audience is just, like, here for, like, entertainment and doesn't really care enough to, like, want to know the truth behind all of these awful allegations. I don't think it'll affect him in the least, no.
I think Mr. Morale was his last album, Mr. Morale, is actually him addressing all of these things. And that's why he told Drake that you made a false narrative after you heard Mr. Morale. And that's where all of this came from. If you listen to the entire album, you'll get that he fought with struggling with being with his wife and like cheating and all that stuff. He struggled with all that in the album and told you how he came out at the end. So I think.
What about domestic violence, though?
It's a song on there that's heavy, heavy in domestic violence. Trust me. it kind of gives you a look into like how his take on it and like how he kind of resolves it. But it's not like in depth like this. No. But it's trust me. If you listen to Mr. Morale, I recommend it for everybody.
So what you're saying is like X-Men 97. You have to go back to the original series and just kind of pick up all the context.
It's a prequel to this beef. Yeah.
Right. Again, obviously, we hope all these fucking terrible allegations about these, you know, rap superstars that people idolize are not real. But obviously, like, they're throwing some crazy dirt and some crazy allegations against each other. And it got real dirty. It got real nasty. And, I'm a young pup, but it's got to be the biggest rap beef of this generation. And it probably won't be top because like the last
very hard to top.
Yeah. It's going to be very hard to top this. Cause like, I think back to Pusha T, like, as much as, you know, Pusha's a sick rapper and MC, but not a lot of people knew who he was and didn't really care about it. And the same kind of goes with Meek Mill. The feud made him and maybe broke him, but like, these are two like bona fide stars in this industry. Everybody kind of seems to know who these guys were. And, It's pretty big. Like the fact, again, news are covering this and probably will still tonight after Drake's release last night. And who knows, by the time we're done recording this, there'll be six more diss tracks dropped, but it's
I'm constantly checking.
Sir, they dropped another one. Okay. Well, so where are we ranking? We gotta rank these things. We gotta pick which one. I'll go right away.
Why would we just pick a winner? Like, as of right now.
Let's pick our favorite song from each artist and the overall winner.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so Asterix goes to Meet the Grams because that shit was grimy, but I'm going with Not Like Us by Kendrick because holy shit, he made a minor joke, the artwork for Bridal Path and the beat from DJ Mustard. Like, holy shit. Kendrick should just make a whole album with DJ Mustard, by the way, going forward. But holy shit, this was crazy and one of the craziest rap beef tracks I've ever heard. So Not Like Us, I'm gonna be spinning it the second we stop recording, and you know I'm gonna try to crip walk to it again, but I probably won't do it justice. But holy shit, Torontonians are gonna be blasting this tune all summer, I swear to you, I promise you. And that sucks for Drake, but like, even in his track The Heart Part 6, he's like, yeah, I'd probably dance to that if it wasn't a song about me being a pedophile, which is a fuck line.
He does say that.
Like, yo, that song slaps though. Yeah, it's not true.
It's hard. Yeah,
it's kind of hard though. It's like, what? Okay, so yeah. Not
he's
like
gonna be listening back to that like 2 years from now and be like, why did I record myself saying all that at the end? Like that, you could tell he hasn't slept in a long time because otherwise, how would he make a decision?
He's supposed to be like, I'm true right now.
What if people be like, you are this, you are that, and like, oh, this.
He sounded so defeated. He's like John Moxley. He just wants to take a vacation, right? He just wants to go fishing, but he keeps getting pulled back in. He's getting pulled back in.
God. Wow. Okay, so Not Like Us gets a full 5 stars from me because, like, it hit everything in there. It even had another Joel Osment fucking reference off the top. So, like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, 5 stars for me for Not Like Us. That's the song of the beef. That's it.
And the winner for you?
Oh, the winner for me? Okay.
Like, as of now? Okay.
Oh, I mean, like, yeah, Kendrick, no doubt. And I look, okay. I love me some Drizzy too. Toronto stand up, but like, nah, boy, you got cooked. Cooked. What about you, Wei?
Yeah, my favorite song of all of this was Euphoria. I just think it's it was at a stage where I think things were still relatively clean, but still scathing enough, you know, about a person's character. I thought it had the level of aggression that I think I enjoy the most out of Kendrick Lamar. And I think it just had like not just clever wordplay, but like, all the Toronto references and the Toronto slang was just like a section that I wasn't really expecting. For Drake, I think his best work was Push Ups. You know, yeah. I think it was like the catchiest song that Drake released in all of this.
Agreed.
It was the song that I also think maybe had the most clever wordplay. And it just like had a good hook, you know, like to me, that represents Drake at his best. The others felt so reactionary and almost just like so ugly. And as much as like Not Like Us is great, it's like, it feels weird, like dancing to a song about, like, you know, accusing somebody of being a pedophile. Like, that's where the feud almost got too dirty to me to actually enjoy maybe the art of it. But you knew it was going to have to get there, you know, for something like this. But yeah, Kendrick for the feud.
Kendrick.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead,
well, of course, it's my song, If You Is Not Like Us. The beat is just phenomenal. Because two reasons why, like, it's a traditional West Coast beat. It's a Oakland style beat, but Detroit and Oakland are known to be cousins. So it's the exact same rap style that I would think a Detroit rapper would use when he's going to beef somebody. And Kendrick just took it and added all the West Coast flavor to it. And he used a style that's authentic to him, which is even more like a thing because Drake didn't. What's an authentic Toronto sound? You know, like, what does Toronto sound like the without Drake? Yeah, so, like, Kendrick's almost like thumbing his nose in it even more, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna use sound from my home.
Well, to be fair, Drake has worked with Mustard a lot in the, like, you know, 10 years ago. They haven't worked together.
Songs like that, though, like, this is the West Coast. This is, if you ask the West, if you go listen to like a 17-year-old West Coast rapper right now, that's the beat that he's using, or some that style. It's crazy. The bars are crazy. Not Like Us, definitely the song, and Kendrick's winning. Drake had me scared with Family Matters. I ain't gonna hold you up. He had me worried. He had me sweating with Family Matters.
Wow.
I don't think a lot of people give that a lot of play, but Family Matters is the one. I think it's his best diss track out of everything he's ever dropped.
Right.
Yeah. It's better than Back to Back. It's better than anything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's better.
Oh, I love Back to Back, though. I still play that one.
No. When I talk about crazy diss tracks, Family Matters might be one of the best diss tracks ever. We just got stepped on.
I was going to say, like, Family Matters is probably one of my favorite Drake tracks, and that overall is the best Drake song. And it's like, the one thing I'll say about this is Kendrick didn't drop any weak songs at all. I think they all were pretty good, like really good. But like the last one, the Hard Part 6, I'm just like, that's not it, Drake. That's not it. Yeah, no. So Family Matters, especially the third verse, he really went in. That's what made me realize, okay, maybe Drake has a shot in this. And of course, Kendrick had to shut him down. So like I said, all the Kendrick songs are really good to me, and 616 in LA might not be the best song, but for some reason, that was a song that stands out to me. It came after Euphoria. Drake didn't have a chance to respond yet. He was flowing over that Al Green sample, like, so beautifully, and, like, it really made me, like, take this beef seriously once I heard that. I'm like, okay, shit is on now. He's just straight up just releasing another track after Euphoria, and, like, Drake really needs to step it up here, and he did with Family Matters, but 616 in LA was the song that made me think, okay, this beef is real, and Kendrick has this, unless Drake really has something on him, which he kind of didn't really have. So yeah, overall, Kendrick is the overall winner for now. We'll see if we have to do a part two of this weeks from now, but as of right now.
Guys.
No.
Kendrick,
don't
just
you
dropped.
Do it.
No,
don't
I'm joking.
Don't you do it.
I half believed you at this point. But before we go, we do have a little bit of feedback from the Poison Rana Facebook group here. We're going to start with Muggin, who says, every great war starts with the first shot. I don't blame J. Cole for backing out. It's like he knew in the back of his mind that it would turn out this way. This back and forth between Drizzy and Kendrick is making the Pusha feud look like kindergarten. Meet the Grams was Kung Fu Kenny's exploding heart technique in audio form. He made the so-called Sixth God bleed with yet another claim of a secret child. TaylorMade Freestyle's use of AI put me off. It needs to be abolished. I'm going to hold off on the non-Kendrick Drake discussion, Megan. We'll save that for the next show only because we've gone long here. But we're going to end off with Jordan, who says, Jordan Goodman from the Wellness Policy and Detox here on the Poison Rana feed says, I haven't followed this and I'm mostly ignorant to hip-hop culture. I can see this tactic being used to help less popular or respected artists gain awareness or rehab their standing, but these two are genuine pop stars. So why are they working this and why now? What's the upside for each?
So he's asking in short form here, Way, is it a work?
No, I can't. I can't imagine somebody saying, hey, let's get together. You accuse me of being a pedophile. I'll accuse you of being a domestic abuser. And we're all going to profit. Shit,
make money. Yeah.
Profit. Good shit, brother. Yeah.
I don't think it's a work. I think people thought it was a work when like things were being dropped really quickly. But I don't know, man. Like you said, they've said some wild shit to each other. I don't necessarily think it'd be like if J. Cole kept rapping like, and your last album sucked, but your good one, your first one's good. It's like, okay, what did you just, you didn't say anything, but oh boy, it really like, what is the timeline here? If J. Cole never dipped, like, would he have aligned himself with Drake? Would he have eventually turned on Drake? Like, cause Drake doesn't seem like he's got the close connection like J. Cole and Kendrick used to have. They said they got like,
they got an album together.
Like, yeah, they rap on each other's beats and all that shit. So like part of me thinks J. Cole would have switched up on him and like turned on him here.
Babyface turn from J. Cole.
Triple threat match.
It'd have been a triple threat match because he already went too crazy at Kendrick, and Kendrick wouldn't have been able to let that down.
Something we skipped over was Kanye. I hate to call him.
Doesn't need to get referenced.
Yeah, sorry. Like, bro, he tried to get back into this thing, and like, look, man, like you were.
Didn't even listen to his version of the song.
It's awful. It's like so bad. So like, wait. I really think he needs to go away for a bit, and he's one of the goats to me. Like he could be the goat legit, but he needs to stop doing whatever the fuck he's doing right now. I cannot stand all that shit Kanye has been doing. So
I like him go crazy. Just keep being crazy, sir.
No, I'll listen to his old music and still call it classic and timeless, but some of the stuff he puts out now is just like, man, and it's nonsense. But
I like
the
album. Sorry, I like it.
All right, wow. Well, we've given our whole responses and thoughts to this whole timeline, and this was quite deep but quite fun, fellas. It was needed.
That's right. I got the mic right here back behind me. I'm about to drop a diss track, baby.
A diss track. Let's go.
I don't know on who, but maybe it'll be on who's making WWE's music now. Maybe
Def Rebel.
Maybe it'll be on Def Rebel.
last thing, like what's to come out of this? Is Rick Ross still gonna try to make diss tracks? Are other people gonna spiral into disses? Because OVO isn't really a team anymore. He doesn't have like Party Next Door is not going to drop a diss track. All he makes is music for people to fuck to. So it's like, is there anything that come out of this? Is this going to help and inspire people? Like Jordan said in his comment, there is like, will these up and coming people or people who need this, like this is stuff that can help you and make you like, will people see and be inspired by this feud to like do their own?
I don't think people want to get the embarrassment. And Party just dropped a new album like last week.
Yeah.
But I don't think people want the embarrassment of like losing the battle. So, but we did get Chris Brown and Quavo and
the mid card feud. Yeah, that was the mid card death match feud that really seemed.
If you want to call it that, it was just a job to me.
Is that true that Chris Brown bought all the tickets to the Quavo concert and there was like nobody in the stands?
He's not claiming it. In front of like 12 people.
It looked like he's not claiming.
It's so sad.
Bad sales. Yeah, yeah. Poor Quavo. He got cooked.
Yeah. When you split the Migos and they're both on tour and they both can't sell anything.
Yeah. For those wondering, Chris Brown and him had a rap beef, and Chris Brown said in his diss track that everyone wished it was you who died instead of Takeoff, which
that was
like,
rough.
Oh my Jeez. God.
Yeah. It was rough, dude. If you haven't listened
to that. Then Kendrick called Drake a pedophile. So, you know, this is crazy shit. But wow.
But, you know.
Time to be alive. This was great, guys. I hope everyone out there enjoyed listening to this. Thanks for having us on. I needed to spout off some of this shit, man.
Sure. I've been waiting to talk about this for like the whole time since we announced what time we're going to do it. I've been waiting.
We love our Davey Portmans and our John Pollocks, but we needed this.
I'll have Jordan on. I'll talk to Jordan about some mid 2000s rock. You know, we can chat it up.
If we do a part two for this. if we got to throw up the OBO signal in the sky and do a part two for this in a couple weeks, I think we got to bring in WH Park and just get him like informed on all this. Cause he's been dying to be on What Up Though. And I feel like he'd be the perfect person to, yeah. I already know he's on Team Kendrick. He already told me, fuck Drake. He hates Drake. Yeah, so hates Drake. That's fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we'll break down the corn Limp Bizkit beef of 1999.
What beef?
I'm down for that.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having us on. Thank you, Wade, for joining us for this.
Thank you for letting me be on. What Up Though? What a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Wade. Thank you for showing up to What Up Though. Thank you, Braden. Sino, we've done it again. Large show. Double XL like the magazine. But we're going to sign up out of here, guys. Thank you for listening to What Up Though. Follow all the socials. Follow everything. Follow me at Cool Game Big B on Instagram. And you can follow me at The Brian Tanio. You'll see me in the Poison Rana Facebook page. You know, say something. Say what's up.
Yeah, and in just a couple months, we'll be up in Toronto for Money in the Bank. We'll be in the club dancing to Not Like Us, dancing to pedophile rap beat.
Yeah. Jesus. Say OVHO. Thank you guys so much. Yes, Money in the Bank weekend. We're cooking some stuff up. So follow the socials at Poison Rana Pod and PoisonRana.ca. Join the Facebook group, the socials, all that fun stuff, and post wrestling. Sino, you'll be joining me next week, actually, for Up Next in about a week or so. So look for that. We'll definitely dice. If there's any more disc tracks dropped,
we can talk about it there.
Yeah.
Have me on as a special guest. I'll be ready to talk about the actual Family Matters show with you on my Up Yours pick. So,
thank you, everybody. And one last time, shout out New Ho King. The fried rice with the blammy, Crody.
Take care.
Take care.
Peace out.
My brothers know what up, though. My cousins know what up, though. My fans in the family from the city say what up, though. My mama know what up, though. My auntie say what up, though.